And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
I just realized I got my webcam on here. I actually don't need that. Hold on a sec.
No, we are an ugly group of people, so we try to keep this vocal only.
Right. Oh, dude, I hear you. I mean, look at me. I photograph like Noriega, for God's sake. One sec. I think we are about to be joined by the Rodfather.
The Pug. The Pugnacious Pug. Man.
Hello.
Guten Tag.
Hello.
Hey. States.
Yay.
Nein.
We have everyone.
Nein.
Well, Shiz is peeing, but for the most part, we have everyone.
Oh, hey, he beat me to it.
So we've already indoctrinated Jason. He already fits in well with us.
How was that drive home, Jason?
Oh, my God. You know, it's pretty bad when, you know, you turn on the GPS and it's like, find me the shortest route home. And the GPS just says Nevada.
What? Where do you live?
Okay.
That's a bad sign.
For some reason in L.A. here today, the traffic is a nightmare.
Well, it is L.A.
What's everyone?
It's everyone
coming to Vegas for Valentine's Day so they can all, you know, find hookers to make up for their lack of girlfriends.
And Pappy speaks from experience.
And was in town.
Pappy's
so
with
that,
them
that,
right now.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, when you measure your commute, not by miles, because miles in L.A., that's practically irrelevant. It's the number of hours where you see.
Not even minutes, it's hours.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'll give you an example. Like, last night, driving home, there's my exit on the freeway, 3/4 of a mile, and you start doing the math in your head, and you go, 3/4 of a mile, I can make that in about 10 minutes. And you think, wow, that's really good.
Jesus.
Jeez.
See, that's where I'm scared. I'm looking to go to L.A. over Easter, because I have, there's 3 people who live there I want to visit, but they all live at opposite ends of L.A., so I'm like, I think I have to try and see them all in like 2 hour groups, so I have the rest of the weekend to drive.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
That's accurate.
Like, I'll see you on Friday, and then I'll drive Saturday, see someone Saturday night, drive Sunday, and then spend all day Monday coming back.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's brutal. Like, David and I were going to a metal concert, and...
Yeah,
and it's like, it's not that far away. It's only, you know, like 16 miles.
Nickelback.
The truth of the matter is we're actually still in our cars commuting to that concert. Like, we never actually made it.
Oh, my God.
Who did you go to see, by the way?
Oh, man, it was good. It was Death Kings and, oh, geez. David, who else did we see that night?
Workmeister Harmonies.
Yeah.
And, Bellwitch.
Oh, yeah.
If Chris was here, he'd probably be jizzing himself right now.
I still have to give the best metal name of recent years to the Tony Danza Tap Dancing Extravaganza.
Yeah, that's a pretty good band name.
I didn't care much for the music. I think I gave the CD to Chris and he loved it, but I had to give them credit for having such a great name.
Yeah.
Well, and
Bell Itch, and I'm thinking the British term Bell End for like a knob. And that's just the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I mean, the bands I've listened to lately are Bring Me the Horizon and Chase the Sun or something like that. And I'm like, wow, what is it about all these bands suddenly just trying to get out of the dark? Like,
yeah.
Out of the dark.
It's kind of like, you know, everyone in the metal scene went, there's so much black now that we can't even see our own instruments.
Yeah. In Search of Sun. Funny. It's like,
Royal Blood has a song called "Out of the Black."
Yes, yeah,
I went super, super hardcore last night. Definitely the most hardcore song I played on my stream was "Barbie Girl."
Nice.
I got a request and I was like, "All right, well, you guys,
this shit's going down."
Now the question
shit
is
real, son.
Did you sing?
Obviously, I don't do anything half-assed.
You sing? Which part did you sing?
All of it.
Yes.
Exactly. The answer. Which part did you sing? Yes.
Shiz, were you just playing that motorcycle game or bike riding game? What was
that? Bike Mayhem? Yes, I was.
Yes. Yeah, I just caught the end of that.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That was really, really fun. It's funny because I plan on playing it for 1 hour just to speak about it a bit more today. And then the developer ended up hopping on. One of my followers gave me a giveaway code, and then the developer hopped on and watched the entire stream and gave me another 6 codes to give away.
Nice.
So that 1 hour turned into 2 hours and 20 minutes, and it was fun as hell.
Yeah, we just did our Bike Mayhem giveaways last night on the show.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because Tazmad accidentally entered the giveaway, and he's like, oh, wait, I won it from the podcast last night, so if I win, redraw. So guess what I had to do?
You had to redraw.
Correct.
So what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Pappy.
And this is the SML Podcast, episode 166. And we are joined once again by that shiz guy, whatever. He's streaming shit, so it doesn't even matter.
Up,
but we have two real guests today. We are welcoming back one of our favorites, David Sterling of Loot Interactive. How the hell are you?
Good. How's everything going?
Glad
to be here.
It's, you know, it's a day.
Thanks for having me back.
You drug a coworker along with you this time, haven't you? One of your minions at Loot?
I did not drug anybody.
I wanted to say that.
Motherfucker. Sorry.
You got to be quicker, shiz.
I'm dumb.
Yeah, we know. So would you like to introduce your cohort?
Yes. Cohort? Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Sorensen, producer extraordinaire.
Be gone. Sign my tits.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to SML. That's your hero's welcome.
Sign my tits.
I was about to say I've never received that offer before. This is a great start. Let's go.
Nice. Welcome to the SML podcast.
Well, you guys are going to have to fire up your Skype cameras and take care of that separately. I'm just doing audio over here. I don't need the titty
signing. Video conversation.
So, yeah. They were all lovingly waxed for you. Just sign right here.
Nice. Nice. Very nice. My tattooed boobies.
I was going to say, you get to sign the breasts of a tattooed, pasty white Canadian man.
Hey, man, I got a nice pouty little A cup going on over here, so let's go.
Nice.
I'm fat. I'm rocking at least B's right now.
Yes.
Ah. I'm all about it.
And they're hairy as hell.
Nice. All of you is hairy as hell, Joe.
And on that wonderful note, happy birthday to my wife.
She's a lucky lady.
My little princess turned 29 today, and...
Aww.
And Pappy was hoping to embarrass me on the show, thinking that I forgot.
Really hoping Joe was going to forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm not really that funny. Big of an asshole. I'm close. Well,
especially with Facebook nowadays, you really have no excuse.
Dude,
Did you know it's 500 people's birthday today? Ah, oh, God damn
it. Did you know that my best friend, it was his birthday yesterday, and I didn't get the notification?
Really?
Another friend of mine, like, is it Mike's birthday today? And I was like, I don't know, man. It could be. It could not be.
My Facebook doesn't show birthdays anymore. Whatever plugin I have that has to this day still disabled the timeline from showing up, it gets rid of the birthday column for some reason. So I don't see birthdays unless it's like 17 of your friends posted on this person's wall today wishing them a happy birthday. And then I'm like, oh, I don't care about them.
Exactly. Like, I see birthdays of people I haven't seen since like 1976. But, you know, my friend who's like my brother that I haven't seen in like a year because he moved away, him, it doesn't tell me.
I'll be honest. Like,
so I'm just like, oh, cool.
Before Facebook notifications, I only wished like 8 people a happy birthday.
True.
You know, dude, like, before Facebook notifications, I only remember my birthday is when it is because it's the same day as my sister.
What did we do before like Facebook notifications and smartphones where we actually had to remember these things?
We
that was
wrote things down.
Or dude, like me, we just greatly limited how much responsibility we had to take on.
Yeah,
true.
I don't know how my folks ever went out with friends, because anytime I do, we all have phones and stuff, and I'm going to be 38 minutes late, and all my sorry, dude, my balloon missed my bus, and then how the hell did they do it when they just like did a landline, like, yo, I'll meet you here, and they actually did.
Well, they didn't miss their bus like some asshole.
True.
I'm just giving an example. I'm just late because I'm dumb. I'm like, sorry, dude, I was streaming.
Yeah, no, I have the opposite.
Your mom was
problem.
Watching. I had to keep going.
I grew up in a military family. I have to be early for everything. So I'm that guy standing around like, huh, I really hope someone shows up soon.
Nice. I'm only 4 hours early. Someone's got to be here soon.
Nice. Military family. So it's like commenced relaxation.
So I'm trying to find a segue of, like, speaking of military, Q-Bert came out.
Oh, that's a good one.
Speaking of having to do pointless tasks and swear a lot.
Q-Bert came out.
The grizzled paramilitary, incredible firepower, coming from a haunted past. He must find salvation in the jungles of Southeast Asia. Q-Bert, he's back, and he's pissed off.
And he's gonna fuck you up.
Oh, really? He swears like we do when there's, like, an officer in the room. Like, we don't actually say fuck. We're just like...
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
I was like, what are you guys talking about?
Rabble, rabble, rabble.
That's awesome. Like, what are you guys talking about?
I don't know. What the fuck are we talking about?
I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is that I meant to stream Q-Bert today because it came out today, and I didn't because I'm smart. Because
you're a dickhead.
I was like, I'm going to finish Unravel, and I'm going to stream Q-Bert. I did neither of those things because I'm a genius.
Gee, we're going to have an interview tonight with people behind Q-Bert. I wonder if I should play that at all. No, I'll play something else.
Exactly.
That's what they're expecting.
I'm a fucking genius. Exactly. Fuck the police.
Well, I got home an hour ago, so what's this about Q-Bert?
Fuck the preparation.
It's a game that just came out for the first time.
Yes.
It's not bad.
Yeah, like no one's
ever
really heard
easy,
of
Q-Bert. Especially classic mode. I got that achievement instantly.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You played it in 28
you
minutes.
You fucking liar.
No, I would never lie to you, Joe.
All right, so let's see. Let's try to get some kind of semblance of order here. We know who David is. We know what he does. Jason, tell us a little bit about you so we know who you are and what you do with Loot Interactive.
Well, I'm a Taurus. I like long walks on the beach and men who aren't afraid to cry.
Son of a... No.
I brought
I'm not even laughing because I was really hoping that's how you were going to open.
No, I mean, I'm director of production, which is just a fancy way of saying I do a lot of paperwork and just make sure everything goes off the way it's supposed to. And, you know, and I like long walks on the beach. No. So,
I'm a Pisces. Are we compatible?
I haven't dated a Pisces before. Oh my god, how forbidden.
You know what's funny? I'm a Virgo, which in French is vierge, which is the same word as virgin. So I had to do a thing once in class where I had to tell us some stuff about you. So I was like, yeah, I'm a virgin. I was trying to say I'm a Virgo, and everybody laughed at me. So that's why I don't leave the house anymore.
That's the only reason.
Makes sense.
Oh my lord!
And now it's
what does a producer do? Like, are you actually in charge of keeping people on task, or is that more the director of the?
Dude, I don't even know what the hell I do. it's a combination of things. I mean, at a production level, it's just really herding cats, making sure that everything gets from point A to point B. You know. Guiding the entire production all the way through, drinking a lot of caffeine. Then at director level, it's more just overseeing all the verticals, what other producers are doing, and really just making sure that as a company, our timetables are hit, our deliverables are hit, all the right bribe money goes out to unmarked Cayman Island bank accounts.
Not true. It's not true.
Prime money, noise.
So basically, your job is to try and make everything work on a decent timetable, but you can't be responsible for all of it because you have all these people working under you at their own pace. But if anything goes wrong, it's your fault.
Well, it just is. It's the fun of absolute responsibility and not being able to actually influence any of it. But it's, you know, everyone, the cool thing about working on a game is everyone has that shared enthusiasm of seeing it come to life as it's being worked on. And so you set up what are called sprints, and you break stuff down into stories, break those down into tasks, and you go, all right, what are we actually going to get done in the next couple of weeks, aside from eating pizza and, you know, playing video games and, yeah.
Sleeping.
And once everything is broken down and scheduled out, then we go to work. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it is a lot of work. It is a lot of hours. But it's also a heck of a lot of fun because you know how you walk into a party and people are like, hey, what do you do? What do you do? It's like, yeah,
it's
you know.
Party.
Yeah, you know, particularly since
you can't go to a party, walk into a party if you don't leave the house, right?
True. True. A party is that thing in role-playing games where there's, like, elves and wizards and shit.
Yeah, or the, like, party chat thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I follow.
Yeah, so basically, within the nomenclature of an RPG party, I'm the bard who's, like, singing all the buff songs that give the engineers, like, you know, plus three INT, and then the guys are, like, plus two dex, and I'm just going to shut up now.
Okay. No, see, that someone...
Please don't shut up. Please just continue.
I actually play D&D every Saturday, so all I can think of is someone posted a picture of a college band, and their team was losing, so it was a girl playing the flute but crying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The title was just, you know, when you're a bard and your party's getting wiped.
Yeah.
It's just her playing the flute and crying. I love that picture.
Playing the flute and crying. Do you ever see the guy who did the 20th Century Fox thing with his butt?
No.
Well, that took a turn.
You put a flute in his butt, and it's like, it's amazing.
Change
your life.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that took a turn. So anyhow, production.
Yeah, you said flute, so I thought butt.
Well, yeah, makes tons of sense.
So Legend of Zelda, Flatulence of Time.
Flatulence of Time, nice.
Oh my
god. So much happier I have this Zelda crest tattooed on my chest.
I don't even know where to go from here.
Sign my tits. What?
So David, you guys just released a new game. It hit the Xbox One today.
Yes, I'm still here.
tell us a little bit about this game that just launched.
Well, I mean, you should know what Qbert is. If you don't know what Qbert is, I don't even know if you should.
If you don't know what Qbert is, turn this show the fuck off. We don't want to hear from you anymore.
We did
get off, youngin.
We took Qbert, rebooted, and hyped it up for the console and released it on PlayStation February, and now it's in Xbox. We just released the Xbox One version today.
Yay.
Nice.
So was Qbert, how were you able to, was it a dead license, or did you guys actually go out and actively acquire it?
Well, when we were part of Sony, we were working with their Sony Pictures Consumer Products, and this opportunity came up because there was a developer doing the mobile version. And to me, Qbert belongs on consoles. Either in an arcade or on a console, not on a phone. But
first-person shooters do, but
right. Right, the original first-person shooter is Qbert.
Indeed. First-person cuter.
First game I ever did a 360 no-scope in.
That's talent.
Yep.
What were you playing on, and was the device even on at the time?
He was high as shit when he did that.
Yeah, because the phone wasn't on or whatever he was playing.
He was tripping on LSD. He had no idea what was going on.
Exactly.
Qbert.
We did. We ported it over first to PlayStation, not Xbox.
Was Qbert a Sony property? Because I was always confused why it launched only on PlayStation but nothing else.
It is a Sony property.
How did it work out to eventually bring it over to Xbox?
We did the PlayStation 4 version. Earlier in the year, and then when we became an indie studio, we did the Xbox.
And there was no, like, legal tape from Sony of, like, hey, that's a Sony property, we don't want that on an Xbox?
Well, I think all that starts and stops in different areas. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you get you know, Sony has a Sony Pictures, and they sell their properties on Xbox Movie Store. And
true.
You know what I mean? It starts and stops in different areas depending on who you are in the company.
Makes sense.
A good way to look at it is, like, you know, when Sony Pictures came out with Pixels last year, and they had a bunch of video game IPs that were not Sony properties that were in that movie, and they just worked out all those arrangements. I think there was, like, you know, Bandai Namco.
None of the companies ever regretted giving them the rights.
Yeah, to Pixels. They're yeah, like, I mean, Wreck-It like, Ralph was a home run. I'm sure Pixels is going to be great, too.
Wreck-It Ralph was a darn good movie, though.
It was.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I want to, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Ghostbusters game that came out was a couple of years ago. That was available on that. That was available on Xbox.
Was it on the 360, I think? Yeah.
The last Ghostbusters game I played was on a Commodore 64.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not dating Commodore. Yourself or anything here.
No, the Commodore 64 that I had in my room in high school.
here's the scary part is when you go to something like E3 and you see the classic video game museum and you see stuff like a Commodore 64 and an Apple IIe and all that in the museum. And it's like, what? I was just playing this.
When you see that in a museum, gray hairs just start popping out of you.
My favorite part of that was that I my parents actually sold it to a young newlywed couple because they were looking for a word processor. And this was like 1997.
Damn.
Oh, my God. So you mentioned that Qbert Rebooted already came out on the PlayStation. What's new in the Xbox version?
Oh, man.
It's quite different. I mean, obviously, it's the same Qbert game and Qbert Rebooted game, but the controls are I think, really nailed down. Mm-hmm. We were able to spend a little more time making sure that the controls for a console were as accurate as possible. And it's even went a little tight. Further, put a little more graphics into it so that you can figure it. The place where you're about to jump to lights up. So
yeah, that is incredibly helpful, by the way.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Unless you're in a rush and you don't pay attention and you die anyway, but that's my own fault.
Never happened to me at all.
You fucking liar.
No. I told you, man. I 1,000-pointed the game in 28 minutes. I promise.
There's some vanity characters that we added into this version, and most of all, we replaced the music with some music from Envy, who did Electronic Superjoy.
Yeah, the music is awesome.
Indeed.
Music's awesome. The controls are great. It's got the classic, you know, impossible to finish Qbert classic, and then a really cool updated version and Rebooted.
Yeah, I'm having a blast with Rebooted so far. It is it can get pretty tough. I'm still not entirely sure how to hit the point threshold in some levels.
Same.
It is a tough game, and it's designed to, you know, really challenge you and make you think about, all right, not only do I pass this level and pass it within a certain amount of time, but how do I do it, you know, with some of these additional challenges? And the big thing that we wanted to drive with this type of engagement, and this is where the music really came in handy, was if you lose track of time where you're so focused and you're having fun, even if it's challenging, you know, you're going to keep playing it. And that was why we thought, okay, the music really has to be swapped out and enhanced. And it really, I think, makes a difference. I mean, you probably noticed a difference, you know, playing it now on Xbox, yeah?
Well, I never played the PlayStation mm-hmm. version of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I can't really compare the two. I own a PlayStation 4, but I kind of avoid it if I can.
Yeah, this what's interesting about this game is that it's really a trap. You get trapped into thinking like I'm just going to blow right through this. Now, of course, everyone who knows anything about video games knows that the Qbert classic version is, you know, next to impossible.
Well, it's Coin Eater. That's why it was developed.
Just, yeah,
I
exactly.
thought it was easy.
Yeah,
I tried it once rebooted. And I was like, right, old games were hard and I am not good at games, right?
I'm not 12 anymore.
What's really funny though is you
talk about the old games being hard, and you know, my dad grew up in the arcade going to a bar and playing Arkanoid, so mm-hmm. that man had the patience. Nice. Like, that was the first thing we got when we got an actual PC, is he got Arkanoid and just sat there for hours until we beat the game.
Arkanoid is the shit.
I'm like, I can't get past like level 8 ever. And he's like, no, you just have to play it until you memorize the angles. And I'm like, how much money did you spend in our case? Like, trust me.
Well, son, that's why you can't go to college anymore.
I was just going to say that.
Well, and that's just it. Like, you know, classic games from back then. Because, I mean, Keyboard came out in the early 80s. And, yeah. You know, obviously there's a lot of limitations on what you could do with memory and graphics, etc. So you really had to have an amazing game design. And, you know, Qbert, I believe, is the third most recognized video game IP in the world.
Wow.
I mean, there is just something very eternal about it. And it's a testament to that game design that even with all the limitations of, you know, basically you're given a straw and a cardboard tube and a bit of tinfoil and told to make a radio telescope out of it. And you have this incredible game that comes from it that people are still playing and still setting records on, you know, over three decades later.
Yeah, it's crazy. Plus, it's a very iconic character as well. Just the design is incredibly recognizable. It's like Mickey Mouse's ears, Mario's mustache, and Qbert's gigantic dick nose.
Nice. Dick nose.
Classy.
Qbert, Phallus in Wonderland. The special edition.
Nice.
That's got to be the next game, Phallus in Wonderland.
But, yeah, I mean,
that's awesome.
The big thing that we saw that was interesting with Qbert Rebooted specifically is you play the original Qbert and, you know, it's all done with cubes. And so, you know, it's isometric controls and you can only move diagonally. If you notice in the new Qbert Rebooted, they're not cubes. They're actually hexagons.
Yeah.
We had this come up today with a player that had no idea really how Qbert Classic worked. He actually thought it was broken.
Huh.
Like, okay.
Because he couldn't move in up, down, left, right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's like, you know, no, it's isometric controls. You can only move diagonally because that's how the game was designed. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because that type of game design, that type of control scheme, you don't see it all that much these days because it was really farking hard.
Oh my god, I forgot to turn my fucking...
You forgot to turn off your sex toys, dude.
Forgot to silence my phone, because I'm a genius.
I gotta get good at this whole being quick thing. Fuck.
Of course,
I'm only good at it in one... What?
It is actually really funny when you get some of the younger gamers and you give them an older game and they're like, "What? How is this fun?" It's like, motherfucker.
No, but there are some games that don't age well, though. Buy Rare Replay and then come back to me.
Oh, we were talking about that yesterday, first-person shooters, shit. I think, have aged the worst out of all.
When I realized that in Perfect Dark you can't move while you're zoomed in, I was like, well, I'm never going to fucking perfect this game. But back in the day, when that's all I played, I would have put money on it.
That's actually how I still play first-person shooters. I can't move and aim at the same time, so I have to just stop.
That's funny.
And shoot and go.
Well, it's kind of like how amazing Resident Evil 4 is. And then once you played Resident Evil 5 with the more action-oriented controls and went back to Resident Evil 4, it was near impossible to play.
Or you guys were cool enough to hook me up with Resident Evil like HD, and I played an hour and I was like, oh god, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, you mentioned Resident Evil, like Silent Hill. You go play the original Silent Hill today, and just, oh my god, that control scheme.
Oh yeah. I tried to play Silent Hill 2. It was still a while ago. It was like, 3 or 4 years ago when they came out with that, you know, Silent
that
Hill
HD
2 Master HD Remix, 5.0 or whatever. It was just like, oh man, dude, this game is still just as awesome and scary as I remember, but what the fuck am I doing with these controls?
My favorite actually lately was Conker's Bad Fur Day on, again, Rare Replay.
I never played it when it came out. I tried to play it with the
Me Rare neither. Me neither. But the thing is, I need my controls inverted for vertical. But this fucking thing, it has it like inverted horizontally, and I've never struggled so hard. Yeah, it's
right.
Yeah, it makes no fucking sense. Like, I can't do anything, and there's no option. How hard is it to just put an option like swap it, or just don't put retarded controls in a game?
No,
but I can't play these.
Horizontal inversion. Is this like the dyslexia special edition? What the hell?
It makes it unplayable for me, and it sucks because the game seems cool, but I just cannot fucking play it.
Well, N64 games were a whole different era. They didn't really have dual analog camera control back then. I think it's cool that Rare updated Jet Force Gemini with dual analog controls and camera controls, but fucking do it for everything.
I gotta admit, first time I saw an N64 controller, and I'm like, wait a minute, there are three grips. I have two limbs. What do I put on the third? Oh, never mind.
The middle one goes up your butt.
This one goes in your mouth, and this one goes in your asshole.
Once I got old enough to become a tripod, it was game over.
But, I mean, that was one of the things that we had to do for Qbert Rebooted when we were bringing it to Xbox, was because now you can move the controller in cardinal directions as well as diagonal directions. So it's like, okay, you've got way more vectors, way more options for movement. So we put in that indicator where it's like, okay, you're about to move here based on where you're pressing, because it really makes a difference. I mean, you mentioned you probably you noticed that difference when you were playing it, yeah?
Yeah. Compared to the original Qbert, having that the six directions instead of four just makes it feel a lot better in general.
Yeah, so I've been playing Qbert for the last I've been playing it for the last 20 minutes, and I went to the original Qbert and I died on level one twice.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
So Qbert, and it's like, oh hey, look, I'm on level 2-3 already.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I didn't play it today because I'm smart, but I played it 2 or 3 weeks ago when I got my review copy. And it was the same thing. I got through, I don't know, 5-10 levels on the Rebooted. And I was like, man, this is easy as shit. I don't see what the problem is. And then I went to Classic and I was like, oh. And I'm sure you guys know the name Skate High. He took your game Electronic Super Joy and made it his bitch. And then I looked at his gamer tag and he had 800 of 1,000 gamer score in Qbert. Oh, what is he missing? Oh, beat level 5 in Classic. Okay.
Nice.
Well, this looks easy now.
Yeah. No, Classic
Qbert.
Yeah. Classic Qbert is just, you know, you are giving up your child's college tuition, you are spending the GDP of a small European nation, and you still fail.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm just not doing it.
Yeah. But, I mean, the big thing that we noticed is, you know, anytime you swap out the music on a game, you know, that's a risky move. And so when we were testing it, like, you ever play a video game and, like, you mute it because you just want to play your own music? And I mean, we've all done that. And from our perspective, from a development standpoint, that means that that's an aspect of the game that could be improved. So we're like, you know, we want people to just be rocking out. Like you mentioned Electronic Super Joy, like that game is a freaking rave.
That
game is amazing.
How many seizures has that game caused, by the way?
Oh man, that's what this that warning screen right in front: seizures, blasphemy, profanity, sexual innuendo. Wilford Brimley. I mean, it's got everything.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned that. You know, when I play first person shooters, I usually mute it and then put on Sarah McLaughlin so I can just cry as I'm terrible at it.
What happens is that because I'm so good, I always rely on somebody to carry me. So I'll listen to Crush by Jewel, because that's how quick it was, that person who carried me. But then again, I'm a thug, obviously, so it's not the same for everybody.
Straight gangster.
Little Crush, motherfucker.
Hey guys, I got to jump off really fast, but I'll get back on.
All right.
Sorry about that.
We'll be here eagerly waiting.
Jump on in.
The rod has to take care of some rod father business.
Yeah, the rod has to live up to his name, apparently.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you weren't here for the conversation, Chiz. We're trying very hard not to say that.
I've been holding up my end of the bargain of not saying it, but I am so happy that you are.
Of what? Saying what?
David the rod.
Apparently,
Sterling.
He genuinely dislikes the rod, and we're trying not to.
Oh,
make him
you shouldn't
like,
have told me
that.
That
show. So
you should have not.
Oh, it is fine.
Yeah, but I mean, you know. Jason here works with him, so he's got a little more leeway than we do as guys who begged him to be on the show.
Hey,
the fun part is he's my boss.
I was gonna say
when
the funny
back, and I call it Return of the Rod. Is that if I like play Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison in the background, and I'm like Return of the Rod.
The funny thing is, I didn't beg him to come on the show this week. He actually messaged me on Twitter. He's like, "Hey, are you guys doing any shows this week?" And I'm like, dude, we'll get you in. how about Friday? So he came to me. That's a cool feeling to have you guys come to us and like, hey, could we do a show with you? And I'm like, hell yeah.
That's yeah, awesome. I mean, we're fans of the show. And the big thing as well.
I don't
this
know
is
why.
That's...
So, Joe, how much did that cost you exactly?
But yeah, the big thing as well with David, and this is something that's really genuinely cool, is, I mean, you guys know his background. Like, this is up until we went indie. This is a, you know, former Sony vice president.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
I didn't know he was. Not bad. So, wow.
Hey, so one of the cool things is just that level of engagement with, you know, with everyone, with the community and all that. That's genuine.
Like, we just learned that you're a lot more important than you pretend to be, Mr. Sterling.
Yeah.
What? Mr. Sterling.
Mr. Sterling.
Shine your shoe. That, what, wow. Okay. I feel special all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Why? So, what happened?
what happened?
No, nothing. I can prove it.
Wait, why do you feel special?
No. Just because I'm feeling.
It's because we're talking with the Rodfather, obviously.
Oh, the Rodfather. Return of the Rod.
He made it 45 minutes. And,
That's the only one. I had to throw out one of them. That's, I'm good. I got it out of my system.
No, we genuinely did not know that you worked that high up in Sony. We were just informed.
Mm-hmm. I was that high up.
Yeah, we didn't check your Wikipedia page to confirm anything.
What's Wikipedia?
Always legit. I did not know. That's, wow, okay.
Cool. But it's just, you know, genuine engagement and interest. Like, it's no, you know, typical sort of carefully whitewashed, banal, you know, platitudes. It's like, no, like, what are these guys up to? We're really interested. And, you know, and that's kind of cool because that enthusiasm is very infectious. And I think one of the things about the industry is I think a lot of people still think there's this massive divide between like community and developer. And there really isn't. Like, we're fans of video games. We play video games. We want to hear what people are saying about video games. Like, there really isn't any difference. It's just that, you know, we sleep on sofas at 3 a.m. because we need to get in crunch time. Like, that's about it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad that you guys, for some weird reason, have enjoyed our show and kind of latched onto us and been supportive with us. I don't know why we deserve that, but we appreciate
it. Just stop talking, Joe. Thank you very much.
Yeah, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
I appreciate it.
I'll tell you right now what it all comes down to. It's the cat in your photograph.
Oh, okay. It's yeah. Makes sense.
Yep. It's
it's the dick pics. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
It's not the dick pics. Thank you.
Someone's been peeking at our Twitter message history.
Well, that's what gets me on the show. Sorry, I thought it was okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, listen, whatever you want. All good.
Well, I'm just saying,
it's not me.
Earlier you were asking what's new in this version of Q-Bert. Porn.
Well, what do you think he uses his dick nose for?
You have to beat level 5 in Classic, though, to get to the porn. Yeah.
And then it's nothing but gaping vaginas and...
Hornbert.
He just like puts it in and goes.
The nose is just even more realistically phallic.
No, the nose is just erect the entire time. And when you beat a level, it just starts shooting jizz out the nose.
God.
Oh, God.
Well, we just got our rating for the episode.
Oh, I can't wait till I'm sued by Sony for defamation of Q-Bert's character.
Spirit of, you know, the early 80s, of course, all the porn is incredibly low res.
Yeah. Can I just let you unlock the original Atari game, Custer's Revenge?
Oh, my God. There's a game that has not aged well. Good God.
That was a game that wasn't good when it came out. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, you get to that and you're like, really? That's the end game? How the hell?
What's really funny about that game is you have to realize at some point someone played that and got turned on. That's the funniest thing, you know, associated with games like that.
Good times.
That someone was out there so desperate that they bought a pixelated 8-bit game and was like, yeah.
That dick is 3 whole pixels.
Shit. Yeah, I mean, that's Rule 34 right there in action. Just how...
Rule 34. Holy fuck. I haven't heard that in a while.
I'm not Googling Rule 34 Custer's Revenge.
No, God.
Because you know it's out there. That's the scary part.
Well, yeah, because when Rule 34 started getting popular, people were going out to try and figure out what hadn't been done yet.
And covering it, yeah.
Yeah.
And the problem is, we live in the age of the internet. Everything has been covered. That's the scary part.
Pretty much.
Except people.
Oh. Yeah.
Qbert.
That was terrible. I'm sorry. I'll leave. I'll see myself out.
Yeah, now I will say for, because you're mentioning that, you know, the rebooted Qbert is like a little bit easier. Keep in mind that's only at first. Like you get to the last few levels, Qbert rebooted will punish you harder than the GIMP from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, it's already beating my face.
I'm well aware. Like just judging off how much the difficulty is ramped up, like I know it's coming, but I'm just liking the fact that it's going to take 30 levels rather than one. Rather than just like literally turn the game on and it's like, you lose, loser. Oh, okay, thanks, man.
You hit start on Qbert Classic and it just says game over. It's like, don't even try.
Kill yourself.
If you lose level one in Qbert Classic 7 times in a row, it uninstalls itself.
Yeah, and then actually bans you. It blocks you from buying games in the future.
Yeah. Blocks you, bans you from Xbox Live.
Exactly. If you were gold, you're on silver.
It reformats your system's hard drive.
It's actually impressive. I've never seen a game just destroy you instantly, but it's beautiful.
So how many stages are in Qbert Rebooted?
786.
One of those answers is true.
I played Super Extra Pro Mode, sorry.
You can figure out which one.
I only heard Shiz because he's so goddamn loud.
40?
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, there's 40 with 3 stages per level.
All right.
That's 120 stages. Jesus. I mean, for an 8-hour game, that's a lot of gameplay.
Plus bonus stages. Don't forget the bonus stages.
Yep, that'd be like 1.3.
Bonus.
Yeah. What's
the thing is, what's interesting about the rebooted part about Qbert is that it has a difficulty ramp, which most of our games don't. Usually it's just straight up.
Yeah.
But this one,
Electronic Super Joy.
Yeah, like my Super Joy or VelociBox, which has no difficulty ramp. It's just hard.
Fucking VelociBox. Jesus Christ.
It's near impossible right in stage one.
Yeah.
But nice. This one has a nice slope to it where you can, you know, you get used to the game and how it works.
That's possible.
But you get up into the level 30s, it's hard.
Yeah. So what you're saying is this is the most user-friendly game you're ever going to produce.
Well, pretty much. Actually, Whispering Billows is. Whispering Billows will probably be the most
Whispering Billows
player.
Is easy.
Yeah.
This one gives you false hope.
It doesn't have a map. That's it's interactive. True. Yeah. It's a great game. It's just it's not meant to be
a challenge. It's,
you guys prefer putting out genuinely challenging games over the what I'd say the friendlier games?
It's not intentional. It's just I think when I look at games, I try to find games that gamers would like to play. Gamers, not people who play games.
Yeah, we had this discussion last time, and I'm a people who plays games in your eyes.
Pappy is what you may call a pussy.
Yeah. So you guys will never make me like walking around the house simulator 2016. Like,
yeah, just get Whispering Willows.
If it has a hardcore mode,
pretty much.
You know, and I've come to, you know, thinking back on that conversation afterwards, I think it's fair, you know, I mean, place myself in the gamer, but I definitely say, you know, based on your definition, yeah, I'm a person who plays games. I'm more of a casual. I enjoy playing, but I'll be honest, if a game gets super duper hard, it doesn't encourage me to beat it. I usually move on to something else. So I think, yeah, from your, you know, what you just talk about the gamer mentality, I don't have that. Like, I don't go, oh, I got to beat this. I go, hey, I had a lot of fun, and I'm going to go do something that doesn't make me cry.
So on that note, is VelociBox coming to the Xbox One? And if so, can we get Pappy a code for it?
We don't have that yet, but we're working on it.
Nice. Very good to hear. Yeah. Very, very good to hear.
We're working on it. We'd like to bring everything to the Xbox One.
Nice.
And so, I think there is a tightrope to that point about game design where it's like, when a game is too hard, people are just like, you know, screw this, I'm going to play something else. And at the same time, you can also look at how game design has really shifted to do everything possible to keep the player from dying. Like, I was playing a AAA game, very well-known IP, and I fell from a great height, landed on the deck of the ship, and was reduced to one hit point after falling, like, 8 or 9 stories.
I was playing Death by Game Show, and I kept losing at a level, and the game actually auto-reduced difficulty on me. It didn't even give me an option. It said, you've died too many times. We're going to get easier just for you.
Yeah, I was enjoying it.
I didn't mind losing, but okay, you know, that's awesome. A little weird.
I like when games do that. Not that they're making it easier for a more mainstream audience. They're just making fun of how bad you are.
That game legitimately just makes fun of this game.
It's what I like to call scrub detection.
Scrub detection.
Hey, but don't forget, we nerfed Blaza Box. We nerfed it.
Yeah, really?
When I first took a look at Blaza Box, there was no play level. There was just ranked, meaning you went all the way through the game, or that's it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So let's say you want to make it all the way through all the levels, and you're like on level 7. And it's like, oh my god, I'm so close. Oh my god, and you die. Boom! All the way back to level 1. We hate you.
That's like Ghost and Goblin stuff. Like,
the microphone can't pick up the fact that I'm just sitting here with my mouth wide open in amazement that that's how the game was.
Yeah, that's how the game was. So.
Because Shiz and Pappy haven't played VelociBox, so they don't understand.
No, I want to.
Every person that plays video games should play level 4 of VelociBox before you ever start playing video games. Level 5 is easier than level 4.
Well, then I'll play level 4 twice.
You're going to play level 4 about 100 times before you make any sense of progress at all.
Yeah, oh, I suck at games. I'm just trying to be funny.
Oh, my
God. I'm just saying level 4 in VelociBox is the video game equivalent of going to a place and paying people in a dark room to whip you repeatedly. And when you get through it,
actually physically hurt you.
And when you get through it, when you actually get through it, it is the heavens parting and mana descends from the sky. It puts hair on your eyeballs. It puts a chest on your chest. At least this is what I've been told because I've never actually beaten the level.
Oh my god.
Sounds fun.
Wait, you never beat level 4?
I've never actually, I can't believe I'm admitting this.
From now on, everybody that we hire at Loot must play level 4.
Oh, God.
And beat it.
If they could get to it.
Yeah.
They have to get to
it. I
want
to play this so bad, just to see just how bad it is.
Well, and that just is like, you know, as David mentioned, we nerfed it a little bit where it was like, okay, if you make it through a level, then when you die, because you will die and you will die repeatedly because the game hates you, you then start from the level where you left off. And that really does make a difference. That was a good move, we think.
But still, you guys don't do like checkpoints throughout the level. You have to beat the level in one go.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which is still a lot harder than most games nowadays.
Pappy, did you look up a trailer for VelociBox or any gameplay footage?
No.
Do
no,
that.
I haven't really wanted to cry all day today. So
just do it. And imagine trying to play. The game is all about reflexes and praying to the proper deity. That,
as we pointed out yesterday, I have an internal 300 millisecond ping.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so I'm getting old. My reaction speed is just ripped.
So I would like to propose a suggestion to you guys for if it eventually makes it to the Xbox. I would like it to be called VelociBox FU Edition.
or call it VelociBox.
Well, at least now I know why it's VelociBox. High velocity boxes.
Nice.
Oh,
what's really
God.
Annoying velocity about this trailer? What's really, really annoying about this trailer is just how easy the person playing it's making it look.
Well, here's the fun part: is our QA guys, in order to QA a game, they have to be able to play all the way through the game to make sure that everything works, all the achievements unlock, etc. So. Our QA guys, when they start playing VelociBox, and for that matter, when they start playing the last few levels in Qbert, the kinds of profanity that we heard where you know, we come in, it's like, you know, hey, dude, how's everything going? You must die. It's like,
The same thing is going on right now with Jump Jet Rex.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Oh, all of a sudden it'd be
nice and quiet all of a sudden. Fuck!
Oh my god!
And then you know you got to see me
see electronic super joys.
So tell us about this Jump Jet Rex. I don't know anything about it. I guess slipped under my radar.
It's fucking awesome, is what it is.
It's an amazing game. It's one of those games that I think it slid under a lot of people's radar, and I'm glad we found it. It's a side scroller. You play as a Tyrannosaurus Rex with jump boots. And it's a very large game. It's not a small game. I think it's even bigger than Electronic Super Joy. But it also comes with 2 and 4 player co-op local.
Oh, that is nice.
We haven't done that since Flustercluck. So we're excited about that. And when it came out on PC, it got great reviews. So we're really excited about bringing it to Xbox. We haven't set a date yet, but it's coming really soon.
Ironically, the way I found out about that was Michael of Rooster Teeth doing a rage quit.
I was just going to say, I searched for it, and the first thing that popped up is Rage Quit from Rooster Teeth.
Oh, man, that game looks awesome.
Like, I'm watching Velocibox, and my mind is literally not processing the obstacles.
Okay, I want to see this.
It just looks like an all clear level, just a clear white level.
It's like, I'm like, okay, I'm not even sure where he's going to avoid it. Like when he's flipping, around wall to ceiling. I'm like, I'm not sure if he went left or right. Like I literally can't process this game enough to know what the player is doing right now.
I will be completely honest with Velocibox. There have been stages that I completed that I don't know how I completed it. It was magical luck.
Subconscious mind to take over for you and go into survival mode and go, okay, subconscious, we will die if we don't do this.
I blacked out.
It took me 45 minutes. It took me 45 minutes to get to level 4. So 45 minutes to get to level 4. I got to level 4 and then I started playing it. A half hour later, I was ready to just quit the game, and I was really I had the controller in my hand. I'm like, Jesus, it's still too hard. And I'm like, it's not too hard.
I need to do this drunk.
I went back and it took me another half hour, and it was just a miracle that it happened. It was a miracle.
Wow.
But it teaches you one thing. It really does hurt you physically. You really have to, because you're concentrating so hard that your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate is racing. You're trying to figure out how to get through this, because it's not just willy-nilly. There is a way through. That's the great thing about the game. You have to discover how to get through it. It's throwing the level at you in random sequences, so it doesn't always start at the same place.
I've noticed
so you
that
can't
I would
memorize, so you can't even like Battletoads it and memorize it.
So sometimes when you start to figure out the way through, you have to wait for the sequence to start over at the right place again, and you never know when that's going to be. So you better be ready with your shot through Velocibox. You better be ready, because once the sequence starts, that's how you have to get through it, in that order. Like the level is cut up, I think, Jason, into four sequences, right?
Yeah, and the thing about it that really just fracks with people is the fact that you can go on the walls and you can go on the ceiling. So you have to pattern memorize, but you're literally having to memorize 4 times the permutations. So
and then you find one, this is how I got through level 4. I found one of the permutations that worked for me, and I just had to keep playing to get to it. And then if I died in it, then I'd have to keep playing to get to it.
Yeah, until it showed back up. That's how I got through a few, where I would be right, like, well, I could get through this one, but I can't get through this variant, so let me just keep dying until I get back to that version.
Yeah, because you have to figure out – first you have to figure out the way through, and then you have to figure out in which variation of segments is all – can I get all the way through? Like, I can't go left here. I have to go right. I have to go up here. I can't go down. It's that kind of a game. It's amazing. amazing.
I just watched the Markiplier play it a bit, and it looks pretty brutal. But I would play that in a fucking second. It's funny because I just mentioned Rage Quit, and Michael just put out a Rage Quit of a game called Linea today, which looks exactly the same, just a lot more low budget.
See, when Velocibox does hit the Xbox, you need to find a way to change it to an M rating so that we can do proper trailers for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a trailer that is going to require
a lot of time.
A lot of profanity. A lot of bleeps.
Well, that's the fun part is, you know, when we submit games for censorship and review to like ESRB and PEGI and all that, like if we Electronic Super Joy, you know, it's got that warning right up front. And, you know, we don't pull any punches there. It's like, no, this is an M-rated 2D side-scroller, which is practically unheard of. And, like, if we sent in the trailers, you know, for, like, Velocibox with people just reacting to the gameplay, I'm fairly certain there are probably certain European countries that would just be like, no.
I'm stupidly excited to see that come to Xbox, though. That's going to be a blast for people who don't like their life anymore and they just want to end it.
Well, it's just that is a game that has no curve to it. It's just right there in your face. You are hardcore and you're going to die an insane number of times. But it is interesting because you really do. It's like going back to classic game design. When you get through a stage, you just grow pubes.
Yeah. Long.
Gigantic pube hairs.
You actually curl them and show them off to your friends.
You can't explain how happy you are and how relieved you finally made it. And I think that kind of feeling is what we look for in games. And I think a lot of that is gone. I think a lot of that, but it's coming back in gaming, I think. I mean, I think games have got a little bit too casual and a little bit too cookie cutter because the risk associated with making a game like Velocibox is high.
I think the acceptance of indie games now and Steam and DLC and like ID at Xbox and stuff has opened it back up to
it has
because I think
up.
The big companies are still focused on a cinematic movie-going interactive experience. You know, we're still getting mostly that, you know, Quantum Break coming out. Like, that thing looks gorgeous, but does it look hard as shit like I'm going to be I need to play this level 8 times to get it? No. I don't even think, you know.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to challenge you? I watched somebody go right through, I think I mentioned this on the podcast, right through the DLC of Destiny. Right through it.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Is that really?
Like soloing a 6-man raid and stuff?
That's not what I'm looking for in a game.
But that's not everybody, to be fair.
It's a game.
You know? I'd say one thing that's kind of interesting along these lines is, like, I'm an RPG gamer primarily. And, like, when Inquisition came out, and all the achievements and all that, and it's like there isn't an achievement for beating it at the hardest difficulty, which if you go back to, the Dragon Age Origins, there is. And I'm just like, interesting, you know, because, you know, I always play through on like nightmare because I hate my life. But, you know, you see the guys on like the message boards who are like, I've got a level 25 knight enchanter and I own everyone. And what they're not putting in is that little asterisk at the bottom saying, by the way, I'm playing on casual.
I'll admit I'm playing on casual because I'm honestly, for the most part, when it comes to a 100-hour-long game, I'm too fucking old to deal with the headaches. Like, a game that's supposed to be hard, like Electronic Super Joy, Velocibox, I can accept that for what it is and allow myself to get absolutely wrecked. But something like Dragon Age, I'm going to play it on an easier difficulty just so I could get through it and enjoy it.
For me, with newer games, the big draw is the story. And with, you know, like, you know, with Mass Effect or Dragon Age, I'm really into the story and I want to get to the next plot point.
Yeah.
And I think getting that unbeatable, like, oh, I got to do this fight 8-9 times to figure out. It's kind of like, no, I want to find out who I'm going to get to fuck.
That's funny.
I need to get back to that part.
That's funny.
Is that a game or is that an interactive story?
As long as I'm using a controller and actually doing something in between cutscenes, I'll say it's at least got game element.
you know.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It does have game elements.
Yeah, because I mean, some games. Now, I'll argue, like, I mean, I've put more time into Last Dragon Age than any game I've ever owned. Right. There's a whole lot more gaming time than cutscene time.
True. You know?
But yeah, but some of the stuff I think we do get a little silly. I don't play Metal Gear, but I've heard people kind of complain. Like some of the recent Metal Gear games, it's 2 hours of cutscene followed by 40 minutes of gameplay. That is now
that's like Metal Gear 4.
Not a game.
I heard the new one, it takes 10, 15 minutes before it even starts.
Yeah, and
some games are just too ridiculous.
It depends also, too. Like Dying Light, the cutscenes work because it just immerses you more. But it depends, too. Dying Light, I played it on like easy because there were no difficulty achievements. I said, okay, well, I'm not going to make myself go crazy. I'll just play it so I can actually progress. Whereas Electronic Super Show, like you said, I know it's supposed to be hard, so I don't mind the fact that I'm getting my ass kicked. It depends on the game, too.
Here's a question I want to throw out to you guys, because this is something that we talk about in the office. When it comes to game design, like, you know, you asked, what do we look for? One of the things that we look for is, you know, is this a game that is memorable? And that's a certain intangible something. And the way that can be sort of quantified today, sort of, is, you know, is it a game that you see people like streaming, not just on launch day, but, you know, a week later, a month later, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of curious personally, like, how important is it, do you think, for a game design to inherently lend itself to a lot of streaming? Like someone streaming it for an audience and having that replayability and having that spectator aspect, even if it's a single-player game. Like, what do you guys think?
Shiz, go ahead. You're the major streamer on this one.
I'm a streamer, so that's everything. I mean, well, there's a lot of games where I'll play it once on release day, and then I'll play it, you know, a couple days later, and nobody's watching because it's already old news and nobody gives a fuck. And I primarily stream indie games, not only because they're cheaper and, you know, smaller, and I can actually stream five of them in a week, even though my backlog is disgusting. At least it's more realistic than streaming, like, you know, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2 and Far Cry Primal on the same day.
Yeah.
But, that's one thing. Like Electronic Super Joy, if I stream it today, people will watch.
I think what's going on now in the gaming industry is that you're seeing streamers, and irregardless of how many people are watching, it's just that I think more and more people are watching streamers to find out about games than they are reading about it and watching videos.
Yeah,
exactly. Because you see it all live. Like,
yeah, I only stream on Wednesdays, but one of my most heavily watched and the game I've streamed the most this year is Punch Club, and it's let's face it, it's a fight training simulator.
Yeah,
you know, you literally all right, I'm gonna go run on the treadmill, and I'm talking about my tactics, you know, what I'm doing with the character, but that's the one that I get the most views whenever I throw that up on Wednesday. I get the most people coming in because I think a lot of it is it's people going, what the fuck is Punch Club, and they watch it and they're like, this is actually. Right. You know, this is a game you can almost play it while watching a TV show. But at the same time, it's got so much depth to it. You're like, wow, you know.
It depends, too, on how many people are watching Punch Club because it's Punch Club, or how many people are watching it because you're playing Punch Club.
That's a good question. I can't answer
that. I don't watch Four Pappy. I don't like them.
Last year.
No, but all jokes aside, there's some people that are probably watching because Pappy is playing. And they've been following the progress. They've been whatever.
Yeah,
like people were watching me play Trials, which is 2 years old. They're watching because I play the fuck out of Trials, and I was trying to beat the developer time.
Well, you're entertaining. You're entertaining.
Debatable.
I've seen a lot of polls where it's about 50-50 right now. I want to see the game, but I also want to hang out with the personality.
I have both. It's good. You're more likely to get the game. I bought Who's Your Daddy and Gary's Mod because of streamers.
Right. And that's a big change.
Yeah, I bought Rainbow Six Siege because of streamers.
Yeah, when I don't know about a game, like the rare time that I don't play a game, like first, I watch Brownman play because he's hilarious. And he murders games, so I want to see what he does. Or I'll watch, like, Stallion83, the guy with the highest Xbox gamer score. He's not entertaining, but he's fun to watch because he just destroys games. No, I'm just saying, like, he's not a funny guy. He's a very nice guy, and he interacts well with chat and all that. He's a good streamer for that, but, like, I don't watch him to laugh my ass off. But if I want to see a game get murdered, or if I'm curious to see if the game is worth buying because I haven't played it, then I'll watch him. So when I watch other people, which is rare just because I don't have time, mine is either because, do I want to buy this game, or because I want to laugh my ass off. When I watch Brown Man play, I know I'm going to laugh when and he's a beast too, but when I watch, like, Stallion, it's just to see, do I want it, and I want to see it get ripped. So it depends on, like, personally, that's how I look at it. But I know I have some games where people...
And that's true. If you look at the most popular streamers right now, most of them have an element of comedy in their games.
Yeah.
It's even one of my buddies was telling me, he watches a guy who's one of the best Hearthstone players in the world, but his following is not that big compared to another person that plays and is not as good as him, but they're hilarious, so people come.
Right.
But it also depends what kind of viewer you are.
That trend is going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
People are going to watch the game. Yes, I'll watch Hearthstone with a guy who is more entertaining than a guy who's better at the game.
That's why I go more I suck at games. I just play a lot, and I somehow manage to get the achievements in them. But I know that I suck, so I just roll with it, and I just crack jokes all the time.
Yeah, hey, don't shoot on yourself, man. I spent half an hour yesterday trying to beat your time on a trials level and gave up for the night.
You have to see what I did. You have to see. Imagine, this week I spent 12 hours beating 5 developer times that were all under 1 minute. And I finally got my achievement for the 8th fucking time. I perfected Trials Fusion. After 196 hours, I never want to touch that fucking game again.
But so now I managed to do it.
But people were watching. I even had Macca watching.
Wow.
And he was offering tips, and he was also trying to compete against my time once I was getting too good. But this is what
we're looking at from a game design standpoint is this whole shift. Everything that we've just talked about right here. With, you know, I watch streamers to see if I like a game. I buy games because of streamers. Like, we're kind of curious as to how that's going to affect game design moving forward. Like, Electronic Super Joy.
It's going to affect the fuck out of it. Qbert, in my opinion, as a streamer, Qbert won't last anywhere near as long as Electronic Super Joy. Because once you see Qbert for half an hour, you've seen Qbert. Electronic Super Joy, when you see somebody doing speed runs, when you see somebody failing, no matter what, you have, you know, it's funny to see somebody fail and have their, like, you could hear their soul dying. And it's also fun to watch somebody like Skate High, who's so good that I literally wasn't even to the point where I'm like, oh man, I need to improve my time. I was just like, all right, I'm playing something else. Fuck this. I give up.
At the same time, man, like, I give you credit for being a dedicated streamer, because I was streaming Bug Butcher. And I got all the way to the third to last level before I died. The moment I died, I lost 4 viewers, just like that. It was like, oh, this guy died. Fuck it.
I'm sure it was just like the system updating viewers who are in and out.
Yeah, It depends too on who's watching. I mean, maybe you have the ones that want to see, you know, like with Isaac, I have some, or even actually when I was playing Trials, some people were asking me if I was a speedrunner because I was doing the developer times. I was speedrunning, which is not what I do. I'm good at crushing an extreme track and doing hard obstacles. I'm not good at speedrunning, but that's what I had to do. Because I've been playing this one fucking 30-second track for 5 hours, I was pretty goddamn good at it. So people are asking me if I'm a speedrunner. When I say no, they leave.
So
it depends. Same with Isaac.
So you also, I'm also learning, you have to decide if you're going to get into streaming, what kind of streamer do you want to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you want to be, you know, if you want to play Plunge Club to the point where you have it down to a science, people are going to watch. Well, maybe you don't want to play Plunge Club every fucking day. Like, I'm a variety streamer, and it's not only because I'm an achievement whore, but I just, like, I could play Isaac and I could play Trials every day, but I don't want to. I want to play as many games as I can because I like games and I like variety.
Yeah, for me, though, when it comes to Twitch streamers, you have to be entertaining to watch. And honestly, that's the reason that Shiz is on this show, because I just stumbled upon his stream when he was streaming Super Mega Baseball.
Exactly.
And we just kind of hit it off. I told him that I was watching another stream and they beamed a guy in the head and it was fucking hilarious. So I told him to do it, and he lost his shit because of how funny it is when you bean someone in that game. And
it was the Joe Cam Net special.
Yeah, the Joe Cam Net special.
One of my favorite Twitch moments.
As soon as he would get a follower, he would bean a batter in the head.
I made a rule. It's like, if you follow the channel, I will bean the batter. And I was winning 20-2, and I almost lost.
And ever since then, he's one of the only Twitch streamers that I've subscribed to and haven't soon after unsubscribed, or I'm still routinely visiting. I'm not big on watching streamers unless it's like an AGDQ, something like that.
And here's the question, though. There are some really fun games that you just don't translate well to streaming. Do you think those games are going to get hurt by the current, you know, way things are going?
I think
that's
so.
A big question, isn't mm-hmm. it? Because, I mean, I give you an example, like Fulbright Company came out with Gone Home, which is this beautiful, amazing.
Oh, yeah, I played it. Yeah. It was gorgeous. But once you beat it once, you're done.
That's why I'm waiting for it to go on sale, just because I'm literally going to play it just for the achievements. I know.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there in the middle. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
No, no, totally. I mean, it's just that's some of the stuff that we look at, you know, on the development side for games, which is how is game design going to be affected consciously by, you know, perhaps even the necessity of this game needs to be something that a streamer with a built-in audience is going to want to talk about.
Yeah, but I worry about that, though, because Gone Home was a gorgeous game, and I'm very glad I played it.
Yeah. You
know? It's just not something that I would want to stream or watch someone's. I think story-heavy games, in my eyes, aren't good streaming fodder because it requires too much attention.
Yeah, and also
not only that, but once you see it once, it's done.
Yeah.
Like, I watched. Again, I go to Bradman. I watched him stream Until Dawn just because I think he's hilarious, but I'd already seen Achievement Hunter do a Let's Play of the entire game. If it wasn't Bradman, I wouldn't have watched it because it's a story-heavy game. Like, I've seen the story. I know the story, so I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, you can't surprise me. But because he's funny, I watched it.
Yeah, I think if
story-heavy games are like absolute cat. Or at the same time, if you're streaming Tomb Raider, people like watching Tomb Raider. It's awesome. But if you want to play Tomb Raider, you're not going to watch it stream because it's going to ruin everything for you.
Yeah, that's why I just don't think story-heavy games are good for streaming. But quick pick-up-and-play action titles like Electronic Superjoy, just action platforming.
Mm-hmm. Or something like Halo multiplayer.
Yeah.
Or anything multiplayer.
Anything in my eyes that is roguelike in design that can change up frequently, that is randomized. Like Endless Love Mode on Electronic Superjoy. I could watch people play that shit for hours because it's always different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have no pulse in the chat right now. I don't really like watching people fail. I watch because of the person, not really the game.
You're saying, David?
Yeah. Hey, here's where I think streaming is going. Eventually, the game is going to... I think where we're at now is... You're seeing an audience filled with gamers who watch streamers playing games, okay? Whether they're entertaining, whether they're good at it, or you know what have you. What you're going to see soon is you're going to see programming that gamers want to watch, but also other people want to watch about games. You're going to see these personalities become personalities, and their shows are going to be much more skewed towards entertainment than gaming.
Well, we're kind of seeing that. YouTube just foisted a commercial on me yesterday that they're doing a PewDiePie adventure show.
Yeah, I think that's he's on a different.
That's an extreme example, I think. Yeah, but,
exactly. We're all of a sudden now he's got to come out of his comfort zone and be a personality, not just screaming about games and doing, you know, yelling and screaming and stuff like that. I think that's different than what he's going to do. Now he's going to try and appeal to the mainstream. That's a big leap.
Yeah,
it's a big leap for him in his career.
I think. Would you watch the show? Like, you think there's really going to be that pull now where maybe not that extreme, but where there's actually a channel where you get to see the higher, more popular personalities doing stuff other than gaming once in a while, or even just leading into the games, like something scripted.
Zero shits about that.
It depends on who.
We're actually involved next Saturday. We're taking part in this Go 90 that Maker, I'm sorry, not Maker, but Verizon is putting on their Go 90 platform. It's 10 hours of gaming-related programming on this Go 90 service. So I think that's where you're really going to see – you know, that's the next step. for this stream.
I was really hoping you were going to say sponsored by Maker's Mark, because that would be funny. We're in hour five of the...
Jason and I did a thing with Maker at PAX South, where we went on the Polaris. Sorry. And that was really cool. We were talking about ESJ and games and stuff. And I think that's when gamers are done watching games, they want to watch programming about games.
I would watch it.
Man, if only G4 and Tech TV didn't completely get fucked up by Comcast, huh?
I'm just saying, let's all take a moment and remember the glorious storytelling that was The Legend of Zelda on Fridays during the Super Mario Brothers Super Show in the 1980s.
Oh my God! Yes,
man. Just now available on Netflix.
So,
that's available on Netflix.
I got bitches on DVD.
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers Super Show is on Netflix now.
That's cool as shit.
Okay, like, as soon as this is over, I'm, like, putting in a frozen pizza, and I'm going back to the 80s. What's up?
Sweet. Reactivating my Netflix account.
I got Daredevil. Oh, shit, Daredevil came up tonight. Fuck. Why am I even on this show?
Why are any of us here?
Because we love games.
What is life?
Did you guys like this Daredevil? Did you like the Daredevil show?
Oh, hell yeah. Jessica Jones was even better, so I got some serious...
I've seen that one. I heard that was awesome.
That one was amazing.
I haven't watched either of them. Like,
I enjoyed Daredevil for about half the season, and then I was like, where's his costume? One. Two.
That's funny.
Why isn't he falling off buildings and, you know, hitting, you know, saving his ass and stuff like that? That's what Daredevil used to do when I used to read Daredevil.
Yeah, well, they went for a lot, you know, the whole gritty...
Where's the man without fear?
Yeah. No, he's there. You got to get to the end of the show, the end of the season.
I did. I got to the end. I watched the whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones is what led me. Three of the four former doctors from the reboot of Doctor Who have gone on to great things, and then there's Matt Smith.
Oh.
Pappy, I'm going to take a page out of your book. I'm just going to have a piss.
That's a freak.
I'm just saying, let's all salute the awesomeness that was David Tennant as the Doctor.
Yeah, but he is amazing as the Purple Man. Like, genuinely great acting in Jessica Jones.
Nice.
Although, no, I can't even say that. I saw Matt Smith was the only funny part of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
I haven't seen that.
Well, you know, I volunteered to review it for Drunk Monkeys, so, you know.
Hey, you shut your whore mouth with your cross promotion. This is SML time.
It was a movie that actually showed a lot of promise in the first half hour and then forgot what it wanted to be, and it tried to be all the things and failed miserably.
I don't give a shit about a zombie movie that's PG-13.
It's not even a zombie movie, dude. It's an action comedy, horror, mystery, suspense.
Oh, I know, but if there's zombies in it and it's PG-13, I don't care.
Forgot musical.
Yeah.
Might as well just be everything.
No, there was some dancing.
How about doing one thing really well?
The first half hour, it really looked like a really good action comedy, but then they just put too much shit into it. You know,
that's like The Walking Dead 2 seasons ago. Do you remember that? Like, Jesus Christ, who cares about the girl?
This TV show is supposed to be about survival in a post-apocalyptic world. Let's just pause for the farm.
Yeah.
That was AMC deliberately going, you know what? This show is our second most popular show next to Mad Men. We're going to have the budget.
Yeah, I was going to say the whole farm shit was all budgetary bullshit reasons.
When they did open the barn doors, that was cool. That was like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah,
that's
where the
budget went.
But 7 weeks of the farm? Really? To get to this point? 7 weeks?
Yeah, just get to the point and do one thing really, really well. It's, you know, kind of like it was that great line from Beavis and Butthead back in the day where he's like, you know, I bet if Maiden did Unplugged, they'd still have explosions. Yeah.
Well, I like to say it's like, you know, Jackie Chan movies. Jackie Chan was never an amazing actor. I mean, he's pretty good with comic mugging, but what he does really well is amazing fight scenes.
Right.
So I will pop in fucking, you know, Legend of Drunken Master. I'll watch that goddamn thing every weekend, you know.
Yeah, because it's awesome.
Yeah, but he does one thing very well. You know, with games, I think we're honestly seeing that with some developers are starting to really shoehorn themselves with the whole, hey, we do this really well. We're just going to do this until people are sick of it. More than you have EA, we're just going to do football anyway.
So this clearly means Loot Interactive needs to focus only on the hardest games possible and change your slogan to Loot Interactive, because fuck you.
And then they become the most heavily streamed video game company.
Send all hate mail to. No, it is kind of interesting. Like, we've brought games, to consoles that definitely skew more on being games, and being very, very challenging. And it's interesting because, it does somewhat buck the trend a little bit. And we do believe there's an audience for that, where particularly you get to the last few levels of Qbert and you're like, I hate my life. I hate the universe. And it's the same thing with Electronic Super Joy. And, what keeps you going, even though you're dying and dying and dying, is every time you hit that checkpoint, there's the pounding rave music. And then, you get, oh, yeah. And it's like,
so
okay,
you're the voice actor.
Oh, dude. I
like the Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah.
Like the amount of happiness I got every time I got to a checkpoint, because there were times where it was like, okay, I can see the checkpoint. I'm one jump away from, okay, yep. And after like 8 tries, it was like, finally, I did it. Okay, I was wrong. Daredevil's not this week.
Fucking rockets, fucking jumps, fucking snake-looking things.
Well, that's just it.
Dude,
you
I'm so happy
really
that World 1, I have no deaths, and I have all the gold times and all the stars. I just did World 1, but that's enough for me to be proud.
I was wrong. There is no new Daredevil this week, but there is a Paul Giamatti TV show coming out next week, so I don't know what the fuck just happened.
Okay.
Oh, Andy Dixon. Well, I won't watch that ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's just is like, you're playing through like ESJ and, to your point, I see the checkpoint, it's right there. And you've got this huge like Macross missile massacre coming at your ass. Jesus. It's like, come on, just one more jump. But, testament to the game design, the music keeps you coming back because it's fun. It's like the never ending rave.
Seriously, and Envy fucking destroyed it with that soundtrack.
That soundtrack is ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's why when we did, Qbert for Xbox, we're like, oh, we got to bring Envy back. Like, we need this to be a rave so that, you're playing and playing and playing. And, the first levels are deceptively easy and nice, and it's that first date where everything goes a little too well.
And the hand job by stage 4.
And then you get to the upper stages, and all of a sudden you realize, like, this is Glenn Close, and there's a boiled rabbit in the pot.
God damn.
Shit took a turn. What just happened?
You were on point with your references today.
Yeah. These references are sick, man. I always say, I tell everybody, you got the best references.
You got sick references, bro.
Yo, your references are fucking tight, bro. I'm just saying.
I will pay you the unmarked non-sequential bills to the Cayman Islands bank account for saying that on the air.
I love how you make
a reference like
that,
and then you're like, non-sequential. Using big words and shit.
Our audience doesn't know large words. What are you doing?
That's what I'm saying. They're going to be like, bank account.
I'm serving Netflix. I'm being distracted.
Yeah, they just skip over those words. They just skip over them. Right. Oh, bank account. Close. Yeah, I got that. I heard that.
So to try and steer things back towards video games and less from Netflix, because Pappy doesn't know how to shut the fuck up about Netflix.
It's great.
What are some of the future plans for Loot Interactive? I know you said you're a fan of RPGs. Could we see Loot get behind an RPG, maybe?
Yeah, it's only got
a super RPG.
Porn.
Got a Bigfoot story we can shop to you if you.
Oh my god! Nothing wrong with it.
Son of a bitch!
This is why we need to get
David and Bob Baffy on the same show. So not only can we prove they're two different people, but then we could get a bigger group of people together on our Bigfoot erotica stories.
I don't think the world can handle that, dude. That's like getting DP'd by awesomeness.
That's awesome.
SML podcast, DPing you with awesomeness.
Spit roasting you 24/7.
DPing you dry with awesomeness. There
Spit
you go.
Roasting you with laughs.
You go.
If that's not romantic, I don't know what is. As you have to don't release this tonight. Release it on Sunday.
This is a very special Valentine's Day episode.
Exactly.
This one's for the ladies.
This podcast is for the ladies.
What's up, the most vulgar bitches? Eiffel Tower in that ass with laughter.
Oh my dick!
I don't even know what to say anymore.
Eiffel Tower that ass with laughter.
Some of this could actually be broadcastable.
No, none of it. But it's all going up anyway.
I got requested in my chat to start because I said I can't ever listen to the past episodes this week because I don't have time. They're like, play them while you stream. Joe, I might burn my people's eardrums with this type of pollution.
Dude, that'd be awesome if you streamed episodes while you streamed the show.
Stream the one we recorded yesterday to get some reactions from your audience when we go off on our opinion part.
When I broke Joe?
You need to stream an episode, just like play an episode while you're gaming and move your mouth when you're talking on the episode.
Dude, I don't remember what the fuck I said. It was yesterday. It was ages ago.
But just like mime your mouth moving, and that way people will think that you're recording it right then and there.
I'll memorize my lines.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Milli Vanilli that shit. Do it.
I'll Milli Vanilli the fuck out of it.
So yeah,
I'm white, so I'll Milli Vanilla.
What kind of future games could we be seeing from Loot? What's coming to Xbox in the future? What's coming to
Velocibox on the one so I can lose my mind and cuss you out and wish death upon you? Secretly?
I'm going to defer that one to David because he's my boss and I do whatever he tells me to do. So,
well, we have Jump Jet coming up. We don't have a date on Jump Jet yet.
Their release window, next couple of months, later this year?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think we'll have it out sometime in April.
Nice.
Can I have it 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, you can have it 5 minutes ago.
Man, you're awesome.
After that, we've got some things cooking that I can't really talk about right now. But porn. It's going to be really cool. I think
is this Bigos porn?
It's DP dry porn.
Nice. Dry. Yes. Valentine's Day special.
Oh,
enjoy.
Jesus.
Only it's ladies' night.
Yeah, I think I have to save this episode for Sunday now.
Electronic super orgy coming soon.
I like how my chat is just going, "Oh my god, shiz, really?"
And there's a couple of reasons why I can't go past Jump Jet is that some of the stuff we're working on is some really cool stuff, next level stuff that we're kind of reaching back into the past and pulling forward.
Huh.
And then the other stuff is.
So you're gonna remake that Rambo 3 game?
Yeah, we're gonna do that, and
they're doing an HD remix of Electronic Super Joy.
Nice. Can you remake Candy Crush?
Did you guys really enjoy doing the Qbert? Where you think you might do stuff like that once in a while, where you take an older license and try and breathe new life into it?
Love to. I think those kind of games need to be brought forward. We did some minor development. I'll call it minor development on Qbert, especially for the Xbox version, but. Because what we're trying to do is support indies, indie developers by bringing their great games to consoles. That's what we're trying to do. So
that's why I love you and Tiny Boo.
Yeah, they do a great job also. And I think that's what's causing this kind of shift to supporting indies, the whole indie movement.
Yeah, and with streamers, I know we talked about this last time you were on the show, but that's the big thing is there's so many options out there now and so many developers getting into the game that streaming is honestly very important to get your face and name out there because of the sheer number of things coming out.
And you're guaranteed at least like 4 people hearing our show.
But it's funny because Poppy was saying that like there's some – now, especially on Steam, there's so many games that come out that more developers should get streamers to be like, play my game and bring attention to
necessary.
It.
Mutually necessary. Beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely necessary now if you're going to
put out a game, whether you're AAA or indie, to have streamers. Mm-hmm. You have to.
Yeah, and I love
streaming indie games because it's not the same shit every single second. Like, if I get a first-person shooter, I've done it before. I haven't played Electronic Super Joe before.
Yeah.
I played a shitload of platformers with awesome music, and they're hard as fuck, but I have not played Electronic Super Joe before I played Electronic Super Joy.
True.
But I guarantee you, I played Call of Duty before I played Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was called CSGO.
I registered for the Homefront closed beta.
Beta, yeah.
And I got my key, and I can't find the email with the key.
On the plus side, there's websites out there with like 40,000 codes that you can get one easily.
Yeah, I'm not even that upset about it, to be honest with you, because I know exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks awesome, but I haven't even bothered to try to get a code because I don't have time and I don't care.
Yeah, I could play Rainbow Six Siege and have the same kind of experience. I mean, there's nothing there that is going to there's nothing there that's going to give me the same feeling I had when I found out about Call of Duty 4. It's just not there.
So what coming out this year are you excited for?
That's a good question.
Like, what this year has your testes a-bubbling with joy?
I gotta tell you,
testes
really
a-bubbling.
I
know that I look. That's what it looks like. Make my testes shrivel.
Try to play as many games as possible. I don't have a lot of time to. I wish I could play games all day. That would be my.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I wish I could just sit and play it all day. But when I picked up Rainbow Six Siege, and I think that it is a real risk for the studio to bring it out, but it's an amazing game. I wish it was a little bit further along in terms of fixing its bugs and what have you, because you know that happens. But in terms of challenging the player to a whole new style of first-person shooter, they do a good job. It's a good job. So I hope that keeps working, because when I do have a second and I'm not playing something, one of our games or something that I'm looking at, that's what I like to play. I just don't have any time to play more.
I appreciate that. That game is awesome. I don't have it, but watching streams and hearing comments from people
really have to think about what you're doing, which Call of Duty has taken out of its.
Yeah, you just you spawn camp and snipe.
And you need communication.
It's not there. They missed it, unfortunately, and that's all I used to play.
You need teamwork and communication to succeed.
It was pretty funny. Like, I'd go to David's office, and I'm like, hey man, have you tried this game? He's like, no, I'm playing Call of Duty. Okay,
that's like, the most fun I've ever had playing an FPS was back in like Halo, probably 3. Mm-hmm. I just got on randomly, and I ended up being on a party with 4 ex-Marines.
Oh,
fuck!
And
nice.
It was fucking great because they're just like, we're on the back when auto chat was enabled. They're just like, all right, guys, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna split up. Here's your names. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. Oh, we were just fucking wailing on everybody. But they were laid back. They were all drunk, obviously, nice. And giving me shit for being in the Air Force. But it was great because they're just like, we're gonna communicate. We're gonna actually call shit out. And I took a lot of that. When I play Battlefield with friends, I try. The bare minimum, at least, hey, we're going to at least have a plan before we go running into bullets, and it does make the game a lot more fun. Yeah, with Call of Duty, I feel like it doesn't even matter anymore. Like, you could have the best communication, but if someone got a better upgrade, then you're dead.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Call of Duty. Hey, hold on to your hats.
All right, if you guys are talking Call of Duty, I'll be over here.
What they did to Advanced Warfare, to that version of the game, is criminal. They killed it right there.
Joe, you should be listening.
What they did with the jumpsuits. And all right, you want to make a game about jumpsuits and flying around Halo style? Call
they made
it something else.
Without the robots.
What I was going to say. As much as I'm not a Call of Duty fan, I think they were just trying to keep up with Titanfall, because Titanfall came and just fucked everybody in the face.
Yeah.
It was like, all of a sudden, this thing is a thing, and it's better than everything that you have. They had no choice. Like, I'm not a Call of Duty
I saw more interest in somebody actually suggesting that somebody was going to make a World War II shooter this week than just about anything that came out.
Okay.
I mean, that people want to play that kind of a game. You can play Jump Jet Call of Duty all you want. It's in 10 games going on right now.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah, we've reached market saturation with that style of FPS.
Yeah.
And even though there's 100 World War II FPSs, none of them have come out in the last decade.
Right. And the last really good one was Modern Warfare 3, I thought. And that was, you know, that was not.
I'm with you.
But you know what I mean? It was still the basic controls. It was more about the maps and how you attack the map and work as a team.
I think when you get to a point where people can make fun of your game for what, press Y to salute, that you really need to go back to the well.
The dancing in Destiny makes me sad.
But it,
or no, press Y to pay respects. Messed up.
I think Activision needs to take a note from Ubisoft and give Call of Duty a year off.
Yeah.
I mean, Ubisoft has given Assassin's Creed a year off, which I think is about goddamn time. Like, let it rest for a bit.
That needed to happen, because, I mean, it's kind of bad when the best Assassin's Creed game you've ever played is Shadow of Mordor.
Thank you. Fuck. It's about...
Shadow of Mordor is fucking amazing, that. Too.
Dude, Shadow of Mordor, if it wasn't for those bullshit DLC achievements, it would be one of my favorite games ever. Okay, the base game is honestly one of my favorite games ever. That game is fucking amazing. It's like perfect.
Isn't it?
The Nemesis system makes no sense how good it is.
Yeah.
Whatever witchcraft is in that system needs to be shared with the rest of the gaming world.
And fucking everything. That is just
was on everybody's top 10 in the year list, and nothing like it has come out since. Challenge what it did, you know.
Yeah, that game
so
like
good.
I got done playing that and I basically could not go back and play Assassin's Creed or any of the Batman games.
Exactly. That game was so good that it made me mad because I'm like, I can't play shit now.
Right.
You ruined everything.
You know, I mean, the only thing that I'm trying to figure out is like, does everyone in Mordor speak with a Cockney accent? Are they all from like Southeast London? Because like, oi, you gave me this skull, you did. Oh my God, you.
I'm an orc, and I come from Wales.
Sometimes I wonder
from the UK. That should be where orcs come from.
That's
sometimes I wonder if Jason just talks because he's waiting to do impressions.
So, what other impressions can you do, Jason?
Can you do Gilbert Gottfried?
That would be hard. I'm not sure if I could get to that level of. Let's see.
I'm scared
you
to like.
Don't understand it. Nah, that's not quite it. I'd have to.
I love how my headset distorted right as you said it, so I didn't hear shit. I heard like.
I mean, that's.
Oh my lord!
I want to see the electronic Super Joy Gilbert Gottfried edition. Oh yeah.
That's what you guys need to do. Hit him up. I'm sure he's not doing Aflac anymore. I'm sure he could use a few bucks for some voice acting work. Just be like, make it a DLC pack. I'll fucking buy that shit.
Yeah, I saw him last year doing some stand up. I'm sure he could use the fucking money.
Oh yeah.
On YouTube in a long time. You know, there's the 50 Shades of Grey trailer. Have you guys seen 50 Shades of Buscemi?
Yeah. Well, no.
Amazing.
There was this professional impersonator. He read it in 50 different voices, including like Kermit the Frog and shit. It was amazing.
Oh, Lord.
But you guys to see 50 Shades of Buscemi. It is the internet at its finest.
That's awesome.
Tweet that out. Tag us, and I will retweet that for the rest of the world.
I recently watched one of my favorite streamers. Actually, it's funny because I can't stand playing Destiny, but I like watching it. One of my favorite streamers, her name is Leah Loves Chief, and she's like the most innocent and cute little British girl. And when she reached like 50,000 followers, she read some 50 Shades of Grey, and it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. She's like just a tiny little innocent British girl who's funny as shit, but she had like no choice but to read it, and it's just so funny.
His cock deep inside me.
Exactly. It was so, so funny. It's like her only YouTube video.
God. It's kind of what it's like, tie me to your headboard. It's like, oh dear, you really have no idea what this is referencing. Okay.
Oh, man. It's so funny. Like, It was amazing.
Can I just point out how much I love the British pronunciation of cock? It's just cock.
I just love how British people can't even say their own language because they don't say T's. They say British.
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 You're not British, you're British.
There's apostrophes in there somewhere.
Exactly. It's like B-R-I apostrophe I. S-H. I don't know. I don't know how to spell. I'm fucking tired. I'm drunk too.
Anyway,
this week you mentioned like how it's funny to watch me like play games and be drunk and be bad and yell.
Yeah.
After I actually beat Trials, I got drunk.
Same. Go figure. I'm not shocked. Anyway, David and Jason, it has been a good hour and a half with you guys. I'm not sure if there's anything else you guys wanted to talk about. We do have a couple other things to cover on our show.
Unfortunately, we still have to cover 87 more video games.
Not that many.
Oh, no. Woe is me.
I don't know if you guys want to stick around for them or if you guys want to get going. We do have to cover three games.
Actually, Jason and I have to get on a call, and then we can come back if Jason's up for it.
If we're still doing it, if you see the call is still active and you want to come back in,
okay,
let's,
cool.
Let's make shit happen.
That's awesome.
we have to make a call really fast, and then if we come, hopefully we can be back.
All right.
Awesome. Great. Cool.
Guys, this is a lot of fun.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Hey, we love having you on, and now we have a new friend in Jason that we're going to try dragging him back again as well.
If you don't make it back awesome when games. We're done, it was great. You know, thanks again for being on, and we'll definitely make time for you anytime.
Yeah, next game that you guys have coming out, I am automatically – let's schedule something already.
When you release T-Rex, I will stream that 27 hours a day.
You're locked in. Yeah, our next game is Jump Jet Rex, probably in April.
All right. Yes. We will make some more magic happen then.
Awesome.
So thanks, you gentlemen, guys, for talking to us. If we don't talk to you later on tonight in our super long episode, we will talk to you shortly after that, I'm sure.
Awesome. Cool.
You don't see it, but I'm waving goodbye on my Twitch stream.
Okay. I'm waving goodbye, just not with my hands.
Nice. Sword fight.
Doing the helicopter.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
God damn it. Have a good one.
This is probably my favorite episode I've been on so far.
Oh, my Lord. This is fantastic.
So ridiculously chaotic.
All right, I got to jump off because I've got another call here. But you guys are awesome. Really had a blast. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Take it easy. All right. Let's see here.
What's our games?
Yeah.
All you, Joe. All you.
We're going to kick off the discussion with D-Generation HD. It was developed and published by West Coast Software. It released today, February 12th, for $24.99 on the Xbox One. Not sure what other platforms it's on. I'm sure it's on other shit. I don't give a fuck. It is a remake of an Amiga game, I believe, from 1983.
It's on Steam as well.
Okay. I figured it's on Steam. I don't know if it's on PlayStation or not. What are you losing your shit over, Shiz?
You're just so cold-blooded. Like, I thought it was overpriced, and like, you're mad that you had to restart, but I don't give a shit what it's on.
Well, no, because we're covering it on Xbox One.
It just sounded so cold that you said it. Like, I don't give a fuck about this game. Sorry.
Oh, no, I care about
you
the game.
You might think it's the best game ever, but just the way you said it, sounded so cold.
He doesn't give
cold.
A fuck about where else it came out.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about what other platforms it's on, because I'm covering it on the only one that matters.
Oh, dude, if you only heard
the
it
Xbox
my ears,
one.
It sounded so cold.
Well, you're drunk,
like,
so.
Shots fired. All I heard while you said that sentence was a blah, blah, blah.
Anyway, it is an HD remake of a game originally, I believe, from like 1983 or something on the Amiga. Visually, it looks pretty good. Nice updated graphics. The soundtrack is phenomenal. I believe the composer is Mark Knight. He actually hooked us up with the soundtrack that we're going to play at the end of this episode.
In about 3 hours when it ends.
Yeah, something like that. gameplay-wise, it is very much a game out of the 80s. There is zero hand-holding. I believe the first two rooms in the game aren't even real rooms. Like, the one is just the starting area. The second is a hallway. The third room is like the first real puzzle room where you have to flip a switch to make a turret go away and then rescue the person trapped inside. The room after that, you have to, again, navigate around a turret, open a door, go in there, shut down the turret, and open another room to save another hostage. I didn't know that in that second puzzle room, there's a gun that
like,
you,
those are cool. You, or you
sometimes
use.
In games.
That you basically need to nice. Pretty much play the game. I had no idea it was there. There was no indication that it was there. It's like hidden behind a desk. I don't know if I just wasn't paying enough attention or if it's easier to spot in the original Amiga version. It just didn't translate well. I put well over an hour into this game not realizing that fucking gun was there.
Wow.
And you need to clear rooms. You need to kill enemies. And I found one single grenade, and I am trying like a motherfucker to clear these rooms with two enemies with a single grenade. And then I would go to another room and there's more enemies and I didn't know what the fuck I was supposed to do. It took me well over an hour of trial and error to just like start the game over again. And I looked up online, like, how do I clear this one room? And it's like, you need to shoot the guys. And I'm like, with fucking what? And I went back and went through the rooms in order. And it's like, get the gun hidden behind the desk. There's a motherfucking gun in this game. There's a motherfucking gun.
Oh, wow.
So that aside, the game was a lot of fun. This isn't a glitch or a bug. It's how the original game was. On the second floor of the game, I believe there's 10 floors. On the second floor, after I'd already put like 2.5-3 hours into this game total, trying to like navigate through rooms and puzzles and everything else, because I wasn't using a guide except for that part where I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I've been playing it legit, and one of the, like, I checked the achievements before I started. One of the achievements is to like destroy everything in the game. Like, you could use the laser to like destroy plants and chairs and computers and all this other fun stuff. On the second floor, there is a door that you need a password to open, and you enter the password on a computer that can be destroyed. I'm sure you can see where this is going.
See where this is going, yep.
You also said there's an achievement for destroying everything in the game, right?
Yeah, so my instinct was to, as I go into every new room, I would try shooting around and destroying what I could, not realizing that computer that could be destroyed was vital to progress through the game. I tried backtracking to all these other different rooms, checking through everything until I finally gave in and emailed the developers. I'm like, I don't know if this is a bug or a glitch. They're like, unfortunately, that was in the original game. And as part of, I guess, their contract or the agreement to remake the game, they weren't allowed to alter anything.
Oh, God.
So that's a holdover from 30 years ago that they couldn't address. And unfortunately, the only way to get past that is to start a new game.
Oh, that's
beautiful.
I mean,
so can I ask you a question real quick, randomly?
Hmm.
You played a lot of Gems of War, right?
Yes.
If they have four people with 42 points combined, and I have one person with one, do you think I got this?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Thanks for your shout timely question.
Dude, I got you. I just wanted to make sure. This is basically I'm going to feel your pain with the computer in a second. But, I'm going to have to redo all this.
But yeah, I was told by the developers that that is the only time in the game something like that can happen. So as much of a pain in the ass as it was to start over, I did start over. I've gotten further in the game. It's a lot of good puzzle solving. The music, again, phenomenal music. It's like 80s synth style music with current rock style music. It's just a really good mashup. Visuals are perfectly out of the 80s. It's just a good 80s throwback. My biggest gripe was the price. I had no idea until last night that the game was $24.99. I was expecting like $12.99, honestly. This game, honestly, the price tag on it went from a try it because it is a game worth checking out to a deny it for now. If you see the game on sale, give it a go. But as of now, at $25, I have a hard time recommending it for that price.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, if there's a sale or if I don't know if something happens where it drops in price to even $15, it's worth checking out. Hell, watch a stream if you want. We talked about that. The game is a cool game. It's worth checking out. It's worth tracking down the soundtrack because it is for sale. Give that a go. But for $25, I got to say deny it for now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I agree.
Next game, Shiz, you put some more time into it, and I never heard from Uneaten Lake, so do you want to talk about Bike Mayhem 2?
Dude, okay.
Okay, developed and published by Goldmark Studios, released on the 5th for $6.99. Go ahead.
I'm actually excited to tell you guys about this one. It's funny because yesterday I was telling you guys, like, you know, I played Bike Mayhem, I was tired. I played it an hour on release. I sucked. And I didn't really enjoy it because I played Pumped BMX too recently and it just felt like an inferior game and blah, 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 blah. So today, to talk about it tonight and give it a more fair warning, I was like, okay, I'll stream it one more hour. I'm more awake, which is not true at all. I feel like shit.
You're the worst.
Well, it's because I was up till 3 in the morning trying to beat that one time in Trials. Or to be fair, I beat 2, and then I beat 1 this morning. But hey, I did it after 196 hours. so I slept like, you know, 17 minutes. And I said, okay, I'll play, you know, Bike Mayhem. Luckily, I had one of my awesome, awesome followers who also follows you, Eternal Rage. She won a giveaway after having the game and having won another giveaway. So she gave me her code to give away. I streamed the game, and obviously Fry was his name, Fry SBM, was one of the developers of the game. He hopped on the stream, and he gave me 5 more fucking codes to give away.
Nice.
And one guy who won... He wasn't responding in chat. I gave him 5 minutes. He didn't answer. So I was like, okay, I'm giving the code to somebody else. And then the guy comes back and Fry actually gave that guy, the guy who missed out, he gave him a code too. So he
That's
gave
cool.
me 6 fucking codes. Point being,
cool
that 1 hour stream turned into 2.5 hours. And it was not because I was like sucking up to him or like, cool, thanks. I was actually just having that much fucking fun.
All right, so tell us about the game. You're telling us it's fun. Okay. Tell us what the game is.
The game is, if you played Pumped BMX Plus a couple of months back, you know what to expect. If you haven't played it, basically, it's Trials-ish in the sense that it's left to right, you know, make the fastest time
downhill
you can.
BMX with tricks on a 2D plane.
Exactly.
God, you're
the
terrible at
very,
this, Shiz.
The controls are very simple, you know. Hold the gas, you hit the jump, you try to press jump at the right time, hit another button to slide downhill and get more speed, hit the stick to do tricks, and you do tricks, you get points, you get energy, which makes you go faster. Very, very simple. Obviously, easier said than done, especially as you progress, it gets harder and harder. Not only are the recommendations for, 3 stars harder, you need to get upgrades and whatever, which you unlock with stars, but... you also just, you know, if you need 10,000 points and tricks, well, now you need 30,000, as any game goes. But it does get a bit tricky You really like the at the beginning, you kind
tricky,
of just,
tricky.
But you know, you can just kind of like go through it blind, and you know, hit the jump well. Whereas later on, it you obviously need to learn the tracks and how to hit the jumps and whatnot. The only thing is that it has like that mobile feel to it, where you have a certain amount of power ups, like speed or better crash resistance, you faster tricks, whatever, and they recharge every day. So if you run now, well, you got to wait till tomorrow. So
yeah, I was going to say,
real tomorrow.
Yeah. Or... yeah. I have legit enjoyed my time that I've put into it. Granted, it's not nearly as much as you or Uneaten Lake. My biggest gripe is all the mobile integration stuff with like the power ups in there.
Exactly.
The pop up windows of like, hey, review us. I think if they got rid of that shit and it was
and
just
I paused
like,
my stream actually because it brought me to the store to review the game.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, well, thanks. But yeah, exactly. It has too much of a mobile feel to it.
Well, granted, it is a mobile game ported over. I think they could have
easily
chopped out that stuff.
Yeah, and at least it's not a free-to-play game that charges you for all those power-ups and stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you can't make that 3-star time and you ran out of speed power-ups, well, then you got to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, which so, I think is dumb, but...
I do, too. You should be able to, you know, grind to get, you know, your power-ups and whatnot. But overall, it's funny because, like I said, the night that it released, I played an hour. I didn't think highly of it. I played it today, and I had a fucking blast. It's not a perfect game, but for $7, it's I would use your ranking for a try it because it has a trial version.
And I was just going to ask, are we going to make any kind of adjustments to our preliminary discussion of a try it from last night? I guess we're all in agreement that it's
say,
a try it. It's got a trial.
I would say try it because personally, I still enjoyed Pump BMX a lot more.
I hear you.
I don't know. It was more fun. Especially one thing, though, to be fair, it is going to be patched. Fry mentioned it in the chat. One thing that really bothered me that it will be fixed is that right now it only plays music in the main menu, but it will play when you're actually playing a track.
Yeah, yeah. That they knew about that at launch, I guess.
Yeah, but that's something that shouldn't have had been patched, but at least it will be.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, if you fail a track, you know, if you like, I was trying to get 3 stars and everything because I'm an achievement whore. So there were some tracks that were taking, you know, 10, 15 minutes. So I was playing my own music while we were streaming because I didn't want everybody to be bored out of their fucking mind.
Yeah.
Listening to
by the way, the soundtrack in that game is fucking baller.
Yeah, the soundtrack is awesome,
like,
but you only hear it on the main menu.
It's
so
all like
it
hardcore
30
punk
seconds
stuff.
Of
it's
your,
awesome.
It's yeah, it's awesome, but you don't hear it.
Yeah,
because when you're playing, it only plays during the main menu. So they're gonna patch that,
or,
and it's gonna make the game
during
a lot more
stages.
Enjoyable.
You can go into the settings, turn off music, and re-enable it, and it plays.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But even at that, the fact that you have to do that is something that should not exist.
Yeah, so it's
so
going to
at
get.
At least they're patching it.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think that can really affect our. I wouldn't say that would knock it from a try it to a deny. There's a fucking trial. There's really no reason that this game should be any lower than a try it because there's a trial.
Yeah. But you see, like, I didn't know that. With
yeah.
Pump BMX, I thought some of the, probably the main reason why I was so patient with that fucking game is I'm super close to 100%ing that, but getting the challenges on the hardest difficulty, it's not the easiest thing in the world, but I actually tried and tried and tried. And one of the main reasons I got through it was because the music was so good that I was
yeah.
actually having so much fun jamming. Whereas this game, the music is great, but I heard it for about 30 seconds in my 3.5 hours of playing. So at least it's getting patched. But even like you said, like I didn't know that you can go and you could mute it and then unmute it and you play it, but you shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, so I'm sure that'll be patched soon.
And they're gonna add a whole bunch of shit. They're gonna do like trials. He was saying they're gonna do, you know, top rated of the week, the month, whatever. They're planning to do a lot of patches, and it seems like they're really, really dedicated to getting this game out there and making it a great game because. Like I said, you know, he hopped on my stream, he gave me codes, and then he stuck around for the whole stream. He was answering all kinds of questions. He was saying, you know, we're going to patch this, we're going to add this, we're going to do this. So they look like they actually do want to put in that effort to make – it's not just, you know, let's put the shit out. Hopefully we make money and let's fucking call it a day.
That's awesome that they're standing behind their product and doing their best to improve it.
Indeed.
They seem really
I know.
Yeah, I had a lot more fun today, but I also like just got more respect for them because they look like they're really trying.
Yeah, I know Uneaten Lake was hitting me up during the stream. I couldn't jump on and watch because my family was here having pizza and birthday cake with us and Ashley and all nice. That. But he was saying that I should try getting them on the show, and I think it'd be cool to have them on. It would have to be after MAGFest because we're kind of
taking some goddamn vacation. That's what we're doing.
Taking a week off.
He seemed down because he asked him in the chat, and he said we're only not on because they haven't asked.
Oh shit! I'll shoot him a message later. So
we'll schedule something.
But yeah, honestly, having more time today, I'm glad. Like again, I'm pissed off at myself for not spending time with Qbert like I should have, and finishing Unravel. But yeah, I'm glad that I put in, you know, 2.5 hours rather than one with like Mayhem because I had a lot more fun than I originally did. And my view of the game and the guys who made it is a lot higher now.
Nice.
But I still say it is a try it just because Pump BMX is so fucking good.
Yeah, and there's a trial, so try it.
Exactly.
Next game to discuss is called Factotum 90. It is developed and published by TACS Games, which I believe is just one dude. It released February 10th for $5.99, and it even has a 20% discount for gold members. So, dirt cheap game here. It is basically, it's a single player split screen co-op game, if that makes sense. You control two robots. There's two monitors on your screen where one is focused on each of the two robots. You start with one, but the second one shows up in like the second or third stage. You switch between them to navigate through different areas of a ship to solve like switching puzzles or like stand on this button to make this platform move. And it's all about getting your robots through the level, through the puzzles to the next area. Very basic premise. The puzzles get really, really cool, innovative, and a lot more difficult as the game progresses. And just the whole aspect of it's, I could see this being a two-person game if the technology, like if this guy had the, I wouldn't say if he had the technology. I think if he wanted, it could be a two-player game. But by design, I'm sure it's one person, single-player puzzle game, switching between the two robots. But I could see it possibly being a co-op thing. It's really, really cool stuff. And the fact that it's so cheap, it's hard to describe it, but it's very easy to say it's a buy it just because of how entertaining it is. It's not going to set the world on fire with graphics or anything. You would have fun with a lot of the achievements, I think, because it's not just beat this stage, beat this stage, beat this stage. It's, you know, you got to do shit in the game to get everything, and you'll eventually get them all through playing. It's just, it's a good achievement list. It's a cool game. It's $6. It's on sale for even less, and it's one dude. So go support him. Buy it. Factotum 90.
Which one is it, sorry?
Huh?
Factotum? It's funny because I was looking at that and another game today, and I couldn't decide which to buy.
Yeah, now Factotum 90. I stand behind that one with a hearty buy it. Pappy, I think you would dig that game a lot.
I think you should. It looks shut cool.
I didn't know
mouth.
The achievement list was wow, wrecked. It looks cool. I didn't know the achievement list was. See, that's one thing. Like, I love achievements, obviously, and I obviously love easy ones. But I obviously, that being said, love the ones that are actually, you know, creative. Go figure.
Yeah, I looked at my gamer score.
Kill 100 guys.
I can't say why, but I just looked at my gamer score, and I have 41,608.
Cool.
Do you want me to make you feel better?
I've been playing Xbox games since the Xbox was invented.
The average is 11,800, so.
I just think it's funny that, I mean, this kind of shows how little I care about achievements and completing games.
247.
247?
1,000. Oh, yeah? Nice. I'm at 187, but I was also way behind you when I met you.
187 on a month.
on another
cover. If I were to count out how many achievements I got from beating a game, it would be easily 1/10 of the games I've played. Easily. Like,
that's fair enough. I mean, either way, you guys cover so many games. It's like me. Like, I try to complete as many games as I can, but at this point, I play so many that it's so fucking impossible.
Yeah. I'm looking for anything above 90%.
I mean, I got a list. I could give you some easy motherfuckers. I just completed Fruit Ninja this morning. I was sitting in bed. I got it on my Windows phone. It took me 2 hours on my phone, and it was just because I was unlucky. Those plums just didn't want to spawn.
Fucking plums.
I got 48% on Braid.
Nice.
Braid is a fucking asshole.
There's awesome an 80. 80% Penny Arcade Episode 2. Let's find something higher than 80%.
Braid is a fantastic game, but motherfucker is it hard. Even with a guide, I couldn't complete that piece of shit.
I completed Braid no problem. The only thing I had...
Yeah, Rare, Ultra Rare, and Gems of War, I'm the best.
83% Walking Dead. I think that's my highest.
How did you...
83% Walking Dead. You just have to press buttons.
Yeah,
you don't have
to
do shit.
Press 88%
A.
Temple
you don't
Run
even have
2.
To press buttons. There's an option to not respond.
My highest
you don't even
is
have
an
to play.
Highest was a phone game. 88% of Temple Run.
I seriously want to know how you don't have 100% on Walking Dead, because the you
exactly.
said you beat it.
Doesn't Michonne come out this month?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what's so funny about, I think, my gamer score is that I don't have a single 100% on my list.
But you said you've beat The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Then why don't you have all the achievements?
You can't beat The Walking Dead without perfecting it.
It was a 360 game, right? It might not have ported over, right?
No, you can't. Pappy, you don't understand. The achievements are literally beat chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I know this. I've beat the game.
You can't perfect it without beating it. You didn't beat shit besides your dick.
Oh, maybe you didn't do the 400 days thing or whatever it was.
Yeah, I did not do the 400 days.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Done.
But even though that, 400 out of 500 is 80%. That's not 88.
It says 88. Like, I don't...
You're a liar.
Shiz, you were getting so hostile over achievements.
I just don't... it's not even the achievements. It's the math.
I'm going to go back down and find out. All right.
Okay, so you probably played like four chapters. I love
Dead,
how I just said math, and I'm too drunk to do
Walking
math.
Walking Dead was actually my game of the year when it came out, so trust me, I beat.
How do you not beat your game of the year? That makes no sense to me. Dude, Electronic Super Joy is the best game I've ever played, but I played it for 17 minutes.
Yeah, I'm missing 8 achievements. Yeah, 500 out of 600.
So how about we throw down
episode 5? So there we go. I beat episode 5. How would you calm your tits? So it must be the 400 days edition that I didn't do at all.
Let's throw down an official review for Qbert before Shiz gets any drunker and hostile.
I'm not hostile at all.
Shiz, I didn't win a game of rock paper scissors.
Oh, to be fair, that achievement's a cunt.
Calm the fuck down.
I will not do such a thing, Pappy. You're a liar. It's not the fact that you didn't complete the game. It's the fact that you're a liar.
What the fuck?
The viewers deserve to know the truth, Pappy.
Anyway, Qbert rebooted the Xbox One edition developed by GPC Games, published by some company called Loot Interactive. It released today, February 12th,
like,
for $9.99, and on sale for $7.49. I think we discussed it a little bit earlier in the episode.
I don't know. That was hours ago.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw it out there. This is an easy buy it in my eyes.
Yeah, I was playing it while we were doing the show 2 hours ago, and it's a lot of fun.
Because it's
if you
fucking
don't like Qbert, don't buy it. I mean, it's just that easy. If you like Qbert, fucking pick up the game.
Indeed. That was an easy one.
You don't know what Qbert is, fucking buy it and edumacate yourself.
I don't know if Jason and David are going to be coming back or not, but I figure we could just start wrapping up.
Yeah, no, we'll assume that they're in like a three-way sex chat.
Probably. We'll have to like stick our fingers in them later.
Oh, God.
Nice.
So nice. We hope everybody had a wonderful Valentine's Day as you are listening to this Valentine's night, because we've already said we're just going to hold this off until Sunday.
Yes. Please hold this off until Sunday, because this is so romantic.
The sensual seduction of our show.
I got an hour massage scheduled for Sunday morning.
You know what you got to put as the music at the end? There's a animated video. It's called Butternut Reduction. And it's like Akon, Snoop Dogg, T-Pain.
No, that's copyrighted stuff.
No, I'll take care of it.
He'll call T-Pain up, get permission.
Plus, I already said we're going to be playing music from D-Generation HD.
Yeah, but you're a liar.
That's fair.
Like Pappy when he's like, yeah, I finished all Walking Dead, but I didn't get all the achievements.
I beat a game. I didn't, play Rock Paper Scissors.
So Shiz is having another one of his fucked up Friday episodes, I guess.
You know what's funny is that I was, I'm streaming Gems of War on mute because I'm like that, and somebody was like, it was Eternal. It's like it's fucked up Friday, and I was like, I did not even know it was Friday. Being on vacation has completely fucked up my sense of time.
This kicks off my 11-day weekend, so I know it's Friday.
11-day weekend.
Let's say goodbye
to
everybody.
I had no idea it was Friday because I've been home all week just streaming at between 8 and 15 hours a day. Like, it's just been one big mess.
But anyway,
I didn't know it was Friday.
Anyway, I guess we will wrap this episode up since we're already over 2 hours into this one. Big thanks to Jason Sorensen and David the Rod Sterling for coming on. I absolutely cannot wait to have them come back again. It was great meeting Jason. He is funny as fuck, and shit was pretty cool. We will be back with one episode this coming week, unless something magical happens and we get like a huge guest that wants to come on. But we will be talking with Radiation Burn for The Living Dungeon.
Such a good name.
On Monday night, and we will also be announcing our winners for not one, not two, but three giveaways. So if you are interested in some free games, pay attention. You are going to need to send an email to thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. You will need to send a separate email for each contest because I'm lazy like that, and I'm not going to separate your fucking submissions. You would like to get an Xbox One copy of Riptide GP2, send us an email and tell us why you want it. Don't just say, because it's cool. Like, give us a reason.
Because Shiz said it's amazing.
Tell us why you want to play this game. Tell us what intrigues you about it, why you want to give it a go. And we got a couple of codes to give out. Next game, Breath of Fire 3 for the PSP, PS Vita, PSTV.
Oh, shit, motherfucker.
What?
I had to be too loud with that one.
God damn
That's awesome. Dude, I'm so proud of you.
We have three copies of that to give away, thanks to the amazing folks at Capcom and Stephanie Palermo. Thank you so much for hooking us up with that. All you got to do, again, thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us what the hell's going off on my phone now.
Shout out to your dildo yet again.
Let's wrap this up because my nipples are really hard.
Just thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us what your favorite Breath of Fire game is and why it's your favorite. Our favorite entries are going to win Breath of Fire 3 for the PSP, Vita, PSTV, digital copy. And then finally, thanks to the wonderful Rod Man, the Rod Father, David, the Rod Sterling, we have three copies of Q-Bert Rebooted to give away. The SML Podcast at gmail.com. Tell us your favorite old school retro arcade game. Don't give us any shit like Area 51 or fucking NFL, but we want retro, old school.
We want reasons, not just, oh yeah, I really liked playing Arkanoid.
Yeah, tell us that you like Arkanoid and then tell us why you like it. Give us your favorite retro game. Give us reasons why, and maybe you'll win a copy of Q-Bert Rebooted.
Yeah, because what Joe's not telling you is we'll be recording this at midnight my time, 3 a.m. his time, and he apparently wants to do a three-hour fucking podcast. So send in your emails. Make it even longer.
Indeed.
Both times that you said you had three copies, I held up three fingers to my camera, my Twitch chat, and they have no idea why. I guess they're going to have to tune into the show to figure out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, final words, anybody?
Like an asshole, like,
hey, Joe.
Huh.
Joe, I made it this whole episode without having to piss, so let's wrap this up.
But
so
I did
piss.
Yeah, I need to piss again.